Blog Talk Radio.
But it certainly rhymes, especially with Marxists and communists. Now, Joseph Stalin is an interesting Marxist figure, probably the most famous Marxist communist that ever lived. Joseph Stalin, of course, purged his entire nation and, it's called the Red Purge, sent a bunch of his own countrymen to gulags. But he started with the people who were closest to him. He began with the people in power that helped him build a police state in the Soviet Union. Joseph Stalin purged the communist leaders who helped build him up and bring him up, sent them all to prison, sent them all to gulags, had them all executed. They were the first to go. So it should tell you a little story about the people who are trying to build a police state in this country, that they are not immune to it, and that, in fact, they will become the first victims of it, because that's just how power works, you see. Nancy Pelosi is a person who has, of course, loved the police state. She celebrated January 6th, saying that she's so excited for trespassing at the Capitol, almost as though it was all planned. Nancy Pelosi has lavished and taken great evil joy in the fact that innocent Americans have been locked up in pretrial solitary confinement for years and are getting decades-long prison sentences for simply walking through the Capitol peacefully. Nancy Pelosi, of course, knelt to BLM on the same place, in the same location, in the Capitol building. She kneeled down on one knee and groveled to Black Lives Matter at the very same time burning and torching Washington, D.C. ground. And so Nancy Pelosi is a person who lives in deep and utter delusion and believes that the police state tactics that she is creating for the rest of us won't ever be turned around and used on her. That's why it's particularly interesting and newsworthy that Nancy Pelosi was served a subpoena on the House floor and had the House floor clerk go read the subpoena for her in a criminal case. Now, what criminal case is this? It's extremely mysterious. And why does Nancy Pelosi feel like she needs to tell everyone this right now? Why did this happen on the House floor? Who was able to get a subpoena to the House floor, one of the more secure places in all of America? This is a great question. Listen to this.
Formally, pursuant to Rule 8 of the Rules of the House of Representatives, that I, the Honorable Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Emerita and U.S. Representative for the 11th Congressional District of California, have been served with third-party subpoenas from the prosecution and the defendant to produce documents in a criminal case in United States District Court for the Northern District of California.
Whoa.
After consultation with the Office of General Counsel, I have determined that compliance with the subpoenas is consistent with the privileges and rights of the House to the extent it requires.
What the hell is this about? What? So this is a federal case in California,
know.
In her district, and she had to be hit with a subpoena on the House floor and then had to tell the entire House floor that she needs to give documents for a criminal case. What case? What is happening here? Jesse Waters.
Oh, Nancy Pelosi's being subpoenaed in a criminal case?
Yeah.
What criminal case?
What if I told you there's a secret hack
we'll get rid of this ad.
Would you do it?
That person who isn't Nancy Pelosi wouldn't say. Could it be related to the hammer attack on her husband, Paulie P? Because that trial starts next week. Does it have something to do with her husband's DUI? Or is there something behind door number three? Maybe a little insider trading. The son's shady business dealings. We don't know. We asked Pelosi's office to explain. They said no comment. But subpoenas aren't nothing, especially in a criminal case. It suggests there's something Nancy does not want to hand over voluntarily. You don't subpoena the willing.
Yeah, you don't subpoena the willing. This from the Daily Mail. Pelosi announces on the House floor that she's served with a subpoena related to a case with her husband was assaulted by a hammer-wielding invader. So the Daily Mail is saying that this has to do with the violent hammer attack against Paul Pelosi a month after Paul Pelosi was nipped for drunk driving and driving under the influence, and who knows what else was in his system. What a shady, shady family. Nancy Pelosi is in her mid-80s. She's 83. She made the announcement to produce documents in a criminal case and says she's going to cooperate. Source said the subpoena was related to a violent attack against her husband, Paul Pelosi, by the home invader last year. It's not clear whether the former Democrat speaker will need to testify. So this is totally crazy. What is the criminal case? Well, that's set to begin again next week will remind you that this is the footage, right, from the cops that night that shows a befuddled, bewildered, clearly confused Paul Pelosi in his underwear.
Drop the hammer.
He did drop the hammer right on his head.
Okay, and then something horrible happens to Paul Pelosi. Now, the lead up to this that we know from the security footage is that that individual, who is, a, according to his own family, a Democrat, broke into their house, used that same hammer to break into the Pelosi house, and then was working, like, was talking and communicating with Paul Pelosi, and was sort of like...
Well, we don't care. I don't know. Why would Nancy Pelosi had to be subpoenaed? How you doing, Pianki? Pianki's here. We got a lot of people in the switchboard. Push one on your...
Doing fine, Donnie. How are you?
I'm groovy. I'm cold. We had snow on the ground. Halloween.
Oh, just you hear that, you know. Witch's piss?
It felt like it. How you doing, Robert? Conservative Nation Media is in the house. And says, Adam Schiff has been proven to be a senator in California, but he doesn't live in the state. Oh, really? Hmm. Shifty Schiff, I thought he was a congressman. Could be wrong. And he says, hello, Pianki. Oh, smart ass. Robert said it was 73 degrees today.
Robert lived a good life. You know, he's right. He don't have these omen come down on him like some other people.
Yeah, he lives a good life, all right. I can't get cinnamon out of Michigan. I'd be gone. I didn't know his principal residence is Maryland. Isn't that something? Huh. Yeah, he does.
Well, it's probably
his best.
Someplace in Maryland in an electronics lab, because he looks like he don't look human.
He doesn't. Bug-eyed. Oh, no, it's Swalwell. Swalwell. I was watching the testimony in Colorado, and they're trying to keep Trump off the ballot, and they had Swalwell up there testifying about all the things that he has said about fighting. We need to fight for this. We need to fight for that. And they had Maxine Waters tapes, and they had Nancy Pelosi, some other Democrats saying the same thing. And, you know, because they're trying to hang Trump for saying the word fight. I guess it means something different if Trump says it than when they say it. But we'll see how that goes down. Awful quiet, Pianki. What's going on in Louisiana?
Well, conservatives need to be marching around the White House, need to be going after Justice Roberts, Kavanaugh, and the other lady, Barrett, I think her name is. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Barrett.
And these other judges, you know, these judges have gotten completely out of control. And need to make an example out of one or two of them to send a message.
Yeah. Hey, Otis. Otis says hello, Pianki, by the way.
Hello, Otis. How are we coming along with the strikes? About over?
Yeah. They have a tentative agreement with all three. And General Motors rolled out today. I don't know when the voting takes place, and I think November might have happened. I can't remember. The Ford's already done theirs, I think. They're starting to vote, I don't know. I didn't even watch the General Motors deal today. Didn't even watch it. They were trying to talk me into canceling this show to do a UAW show, and I had no. No. We'll finish up Sunday night, and then we'll turn our attention to Convention of States. And
yeah, I'm going to try to find you somebody up there in Michigan, too. But I was listening to your show last Sunday, UAW, and I tell you what, Adrian was really whooping them in line, wasn't she?
Yeah, care of business. You don't get out of line when Adrian's in the switch, you know, on the line. You don't.
Sure, no.
She'll tell you.
Here, I started straightening out my desk and spraying the top of it with Pledge and wiping the dust off.
Yeah. Well. Oh, I've been watching the Cartier family. They were listening to Thomas Sowell and facts about slavery that I didn't even know. They didn't know. They weren't taught in school. Neither was I. And they were quite surprised when I forgot his name. Now, who wrote Roots? I can't think of his damn name.
Alex Haley and his brother.
Yeah.
His brother. Yeah, Alex Haley.
Yeah, and they had, they showed a tape of Alex Haley saying that wasn't really true what he was writing and wrote, but he wanted to, you know how people do when they do books. And just one poor guy, he hit the door. He was so mad. Man, everybody lies to us. There was another one. I don't know if they cut it or not. It was the Cartier family, but it was somebody else playing it. I don't know if they cut it and the guy hit the door for that reason or not. I don't know. But I like watching these young people looking back on history and learning about history that they didn't believe. And I learned too, because while they're learning, I am too, because I wasn't taught that anything like that in school. And first black slave or first slave owner was black, and I didn't know that either. A lot of things I don't know, Pianchi. But these young kids, you know, they're not kids, they're young people, are, I'm catching up with them. I'm learning with them. Very good show. It's a Cartier family on YouTube, folks. They're, when you think there's no hope for young people, there's some right there that pretty cool, pretty awesome.
Yeah, people get a lot of things wrong about the Philistines and the Palestinians, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, they do. And but I can't believe these colleges, these kids in college. What's wrong with these folks? They don't even know what they're talking. If you want to be with this group or that group, fine. But listen to each other. Not these people want a riot. If you think something, if you're for Israel at all, they want to kill you. Jesus. These are college kids.
Well, you know, we can't down communism and Marxism without downing Zionism, which is right in our face.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's closer now than I think it's ever been in my lifetime. Or maybe I'm just paying more attention. I don't know. Gary, we're going to have to do something.
Hey, guess what? Willie McGee turns 65 here this week.
Willie McGee. Mr. Fly, man, that dude could fly. Center fielder, St. Louis Cardinals. Well, he was center fielder. I don't know if he ended up. He, in the minor leagues, he played the outfield. And, man, I just watched tape. He looked like a toothpick, a tall toothpick.
Yeah, he was a little guy. He's coaching for the Cardinals.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Way to go. I like watching. I like watching good ball players. Even though I don't like St. Louis at all. But they had some good ball.
Ozzie Smith still coaching. My grandson trained with Ozzie. He got those fast hands. He was standing there in the middle of a turf floor talking. And Kurt Ford, you know, Kurt Ford played left field.
Yeah.
And my grandson played with his teams. Kurt Ford hit a sharp bouncer. Ozzie Smith was just standing there talking. All of a sudden, he got it.
Did you see the glove that Ozzy used to play with?
Yeah, that's the replicas out there.
I mean, they're small. It just barely fits your hand. It's not much more than a snow glove. I don't know how he caught those balls. They're, you know, infielders use smaller gloves. I know that. They use smaller gloves in the infield. Go ahead.
Compare that to an outfielder's glove. They got as large as a trash can top.
Oh, I know. I had one 12 inches. I was a catcher, but I always had an outfielder's glove, too, and it was 12 inches. And everybody else's outfielders were 11 and a half. And infielders, good Lord, I don't even know how short. I don't know how they even caught those. But Ozzie's seemed to be even smaller. I don't know if it was, but it just looked smaller. He was and do those backflips, man. Oh, my God. He scared the hell out of you doing those damn things. But he turned the people on.
I got a shoeless Joe Jackson glove. The Quinn you use in the infield. But
I thought he was an outfielder.
Well, he likes his glove. He's got an open web glove.
Well, I was going to say, did they have gloves? Very much of a glove at all. They didn't have much of one.
Did.
I use a good
glove.
What
that glove Babe Ruth had wasn't nothing more than a big mitten. Like a donut.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I don't like those old catcher's gloves. Oh, crazy. Crazy, crazy. Well, I don't know what's going on in the world besides chaos.
I'm going to see what comes out of this trial. See what comes out of the trial where they play Maxine Waters telling her crowd to go out and cause problems. And
yeah,
you know,
they
did
that.
You did have a crowd jump Sarah Huckabee in a restaurant. And
yeah, I know it.
Too.
Wasn't, what the hell was the name of it? Red something. Not chicken, right? Chicken, I can't remember. Yeah, and they went and served
it. Yeah, that's something else.
Yeah. Amazing.
How low down can you be?
White House spokesperson,
well,
and you can't serve her.
Now she's governor. I hate to see what happens when they try to extend their license.
Good point. You know what? I don't think she's vindictive like that. I just don't. I wish she would
be. They sent in about 25 food inspectors at one time.
with machine guns.
Yeah.
Robert said it's fun to watch the light come on in their heads when they learn something that goes against what they usually thought. Yeah, it is. It really is. And it's nice when an old man in Michigan learns something that he thought he knew but didn't. And that's always, I always get a thrill. Feels pretty good. Lorianne, welcome when you get to call in. She's in the chat room. Got a lot of people on the switchboard. If you'd like to join, push one. I'll get you on. Maybe. Could be. Depends of me and Pianchi are done talking about baseball. Just never know. Texas Rangers, though, folks, is the first time they won the World Series. First time. 59 years?
Well, you know, when the Cardinals won the World Series in, 64, that series was held during the middle of September around that time, right?
Yeah, I know. I know where you're going.
And here they are just now finishing the World Series down there at the 1st of November.
Yeah. What if Detroit would have won this year and it's 30 degrees outside? That's no fun for the fans, and you sure as hell, you're out there in those uniforms freezing your butt off. That's crazy. I remember the season would be over like October 1st. There was none of this playoffs. That's what's pushing everything, these playoffs. And man, all the way, I told Cinnamon, I said, man, this is going to end right before November. And it did. By a few days. Freaking amazing. I don't know what you do if it's in Detroit. What are you going to do, cancel games because of snow? That's nuts.
Well, some of those players head south and play baseball, like in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, but some of them do.
Spring training will be back around sometime in March.
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers and catchers report around the 1st of February.
February 18th, by the way. It's my birthday. That's when the Tigers spring training open up every year, February 18th. Mark that down if you all want to send me a present. Just mark that down. I see nobody's. Everybody's being quiet. My man was on. My favorite, your favorite, Senator.
Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Secretary, do you agree with the President that we should ban the private ownership of assault weapons in America?
Senator, I do.
What is an assault weapon?
It is, for example, an AK-47.
Can you give me a definition other than just pointing to a specific weapon? Would there be other weapons besides an AK-47 you would ban?
There very well are. And I remember when I was a federal prosecutor in the Central District of California from September 25th, 1989 to, I believe it was April 2001.
And I thank you for your
all
service.
Of the,
but if
all
you could
of the law enforcement, the vast majority of law enforcement officers, leaders with whom I worked were greatly in support of the assault weapon.
Okay, that explains why he's like he is. He's from California. I didn't know that.
Mr. Chairman, you know why we get so frustrated with you? because you won't give straight answers.
I think I just did.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Do you have a definition of an assault weapon?
I am confident there is a technical definition of what is an assault weapon, and it was assuredly used in the context of the statute that previously existed banning assault weapons.
Mr. Secretary, our southern border is not secure, is it?
Senator, I have spoken about this. I believe I've addressed this earlier in the hearing.
Why don't you address it again?
Of course. Let me share with you a few things. Number one, when I speak of the security of the border, I am speaking of maximizing the resources we have to deliver the most effective results.
So
let me assure you that we are doing
secure
so.
Because we're trying to secure it. Are we succeeding?
Senator, we are so focused on the security of our southern border. We are doing so much with respect to the surge of personnel.
How you're not succeeding?
Oh, Senator, let me share with you that the challenge of migration that we are experiencing at our southern border is not exclusive to the United States. It is something that is gripping the entire hemisphere.
But my job is to worry about the United States.
As is mine.
And here's my question. Let me try to rephrase it. And I really do wish, I understand the position you're in, but you really should try to do a better job of answering the questions. Under the Biden administration, we have the most encounters. We have had the most encounters with people attempting to come into our country illegally in the history of ever. Under the Biden administration, we have had the most people entering our country illegally in the history of ever. Under the Biden administration, we have had the most gotaways at our southern border in the history of ever. Under the Biden administration, we have had the most number of people entering our country under a claim of asylum, having that claim turned down and still not being deported in the history of ever. And under the Biden administration, we've had the most fentanyl coming into our country in the history of ever. How can you possibly say the southern border is secure?
I understand your
answer that you're trying, but I'm not asking about your efforts. I'm asking about the results.
Well, let's talk about the results then, Senator. Do you know that last year we expelled and removed approximately 1.4 million people from the southern border? I believe that's the most ever. Do you realize that we are focused on enforcing our laws to achieve the security of the southern border?
I know you're focused, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Secretary, but you're not succeeding.
Senator,
when you come testify to us, you talk about how you're trying really hard, and I don't have any way to disprove that. I accept that statement in good faith, but the numbers belie that.
If I can, Senator, let me give you an example of a solution that we have delivered that for some reason is being contested.
Because it's
caused the 95.
30 seconds, okay? Don't filibuster me.
You've been
doing that all day. I'm just trying to.
I'm just trying
questions.
To communicate. It has led to a approximately 95% drop in the number of encounters in between the ports of entry at our southern border of Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans.
Mr. Secretary,
on January 5th, would that be opposed when it is delivering precisely the result that you seek?
Did you just parachute in from another planet, Mr. Secretary? Because you're the only person in the Milky Way who believes that we're not having massive illegal immigration into America.
Senator, you're putting words into my mouth.
No, sir, I'm accurately describing the situation.
There is no question that we have a very serious challenge at our southern border.
Okay.
We
can agree on that. Let me ask you another question.
You won't answer it.
Why don't you just declare a new policy that other than children if you present at the southern border, you claim refugee status, you claim political asylum, and you haven't claimed refugee status and political asylum at the first safe country, then you can't come in.
Senator, so first of all, when one presents at the border, it's an asylum claim, not
a
refugee.
So why don't you do that? Why don't you just unilaterally declare that it, a safe third country policy? It would work. You can't come into America. If you're coming from Venezuela and you come through Mexico, if you didn't claim asylum in Mexico, you can't come here. You have to leave. Why don't you just do that?
Well, Senator, let me give you an example with respect to Mexico. A safe third country agreement, let's hypothetically
you
assume...
You don't have to have an agreement with Mexico.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
I believe you do, Senator.
No, you don't.
I'll have
other
to...
countries don't do it. Just adopt a policy that says, except for children, because you don't want to send children back by themselves. Just adopt a new policy that if you didn't seek asylum in the first safe third country, you can't come in, period.
Senator, are you aware of the notice of proposed rulemaking that we issued, the comment period of which closed yesterday?
You've had 2 years to adopt a policy like I just described. Why haven't you done it?
So, Senator, what we have done is...
haven't you done that?
We have surged enforcement resources.
You're not going to...
haven't you just adopted... Please, if you would, Mr. Secretary, answer my question.
It is my understanding.
Why haven't you adopted unilaterally a safe third country policy? That would stop, except for children, all the folks from the Northern Triangle countries, all the folks from Venezuela, all the folks from Cuba, all the folks from the Middle East from coming into our country. Why haven't you done that?
Senator, it's my understanding that those are two things. It is my understanding that those agreements do require
you don't have to have an agreement with anybody. It can be a policy established by the Department of Homeland Security.
Senator, I'd have to review the...
You haven't reviewed that? You haven't considered that possibility?
Let me finish, if I may.
Sure.
No.
I would have to review the legal underpinnings of your
assertion. Well, you better get reviewing.
And I also...
You want to get reviewing? This is the first time that's occurred to you?
I also do not think that that is sound policy.
You don't think that's... This is the first time that's occurred to you?
I also do not think that that is sound policy, that we should shut down our entire asylum system.
I didn't say shut down the entire asylum system. I said safe third country. All you have to do, Mr. Secretary, if you're really serious, and it's beginning, frankly, to appear that you're not, is adopt a policy that says we're not seeking anyone's agreement. We don't have to. If you're coming from another country, and you come through, let's say, Mexico, and you say you're seeking asylum, you have to seek it in Mexico or the other first safe third country, or you can't come in. Period. Done. End of story. Why don't you do that?
Senator, I don't think that we have the unilateral authority.
Sure you do. Other countries
number one
do
and
it.
Number two, as
have
I
you
mentioned.
Try sneaking into China?
As I've mentioned, I do not think that is sound policy.
Why?
Because you are basically shutting down our asylum system.
No, you're not. You're saying we honor your right to seek political asylum, but you're cherry picking. Do it in Mexico first. Why haven't you done that?
I think I've addressed that issue, Senator.
You don't want to do it, Mr. Secretary. That's what it's beginning to look like, because you think our borders ought to be open. And it would be more intellectually honest if you just say that.
That is false.
I don't agree with you. You have to watch up here what people do, not what they say, and everything else is just cottage cheese.
Senator, I don't think the 1.4 million people who were expelled or removed last year would consider the border open.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Secretary, you've had millions coming into the country illegally. The most of the history of ever under your watch. And everybody knows that, apparently, except you. Either that or you're not being forthcoming with.
We've also had the largest number of individuals expelled or removed from the southern border. And if one takes a look at the apprehension and encounter numbers, and then the removal numbers, one would have a different view.
If you do the safe third country policy, that'll solve half of your problem right there.
Thank
and
you,
you're
Senator.
Not denying anybody asylum.
Thank you, Senator Kennedy.
All right. Thank you. Who sent me that? Somebody sent me that. Anyway, wow. We got a hell of a lot of people in the suite. Let me get the two Alabama people on, Kathy and Daniel. Howdy.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, Donnie.
We got some,
hello.
We got some important news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you guys going to have to research it because you're not going to believe it. You're not going to understand it. So you're going to have to research it for yourself, Daniel. Tells you this.
All right. We're waiting.
Are you ready? Okay. The other day on, I guess it was CNN, it was mainstream media, Scalise announced the 45th Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, sorry.
Mike Johnson, yeah.
Mike Johnson, 45th Speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as of recent, Nancy, I know she was the 57th speaker of one of the House. She's been, say, the same speaker for different Congresses, you know, like the 109th Congress.
Right.
But, okay, the 44th speaker of the House of Representatives was in 1877. His name was Samuel J. Randall. It was right after the Act of 1871 was voted on. It wasn't ratified until 1878. So this 44th Congress fell during the time that the Act of 1871 turned our country into a company, a corporation. And we've been talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
So why would anybody come out and announce him as the 45th Speaker of the 45th Congress? If
good
it
job,
weren't
Dan.
True.
Well, Congress people serve for 2 years, right?
Right.
That's right.
So that would have been, if he's the 45th, that means it would have been 90 Congress changes in that period of time. Congress itself could be 45 because that's everybody. But every 2 years, a Congress person runs, and that would equal two times whatever the Congress is, 44 would be 88 speakers, unless somebody die off.
Right. Like I said, Nancy was the 57th speaker at one point.
Well, they vote on speaker every year?
The deal is what they did, they took everything from the time that the United States was turned into a corporation,
mm-hmm.
and they took all those years as null and void, and they started back when we were a republic during the 45th Congress, and this, which we have now, is the 45th Congress.
What Congress was Nancy Pelosi first seated with?
No, I mean,
30?
I can look all this.
33rd?
The first one, I'm not sure. Let me look.
I
That's what
know.
We were saying.
Whatever Congress she sat with, you have to multiply it by two to get the speaker's terms.
Why does it have to be multiplied by two?
Because speakers change the seat every 2 years, don't they, when the new Congress come in?
Right, but what if, okay, like Nancy wasn't a speaker when that guy from Ohio was the Republican, but then she came back as another speaker under another Congress. So that blows all that out.
When Boehner was speaker?
Yeah, Boehner. Boehner, exactly.
Boehner, whatever now they call him.
Yeah, you can jump in and jump out, you know, 20 years down the road if you want. And you become another speaker for another Congress.
Bianchi, handle your cousins for me, will you? Because I can't figure out.
Well,
what,
look,
what...
Kathy and Daniel, I got a better question. Did you
see
that bright light? Did you see that bright light in the west the other night?
No, but let me look.
No, I hadn't been out tonight, but I'm out here right now.
It was a bright light in the west.
I saw another.
It was just,
are you talking about the moon?
No, it wasn't the moon. And I wasn't howling at it.
Like,
moon.
What was it, Bianchi?
So you're saying it's in the west, right?
It was in the west, yes. That's the direction that I was looking in. So like the east. East, west, east. East, west.
Yeah.
Are you... east-west.
Oh,
there's no east-west.
You're on, Lori Ann, you're on Get Us Out.
Well, not
hey there, everybody.
East-west.
East-south, I'm sorry.
The northeast, southeast, there is no east-west. I never heard that before.
No, I'm sorry.
Maybe they have that up north. We don't do that down south.
Yeah, well, this thing looked awful suspicious up there to me, like it was just hovering, looking at somebody.
So what was it, at night or during the day?
It was at night.
And you saw
it? It was so bright that when I got out of my car, I ran to the house. I usually don't run like that.
I didn't know you could run anymore. You still wearing those holy shoes?
I didn't know neither. When something like that's looking suspicious, hovering in the sky, what are you gonna do? Walk?
You run. Yeah. You run to get cover. Yeah.
He even noticed he's got his paws over his ears. He don't even want to hear this.
What was it, Bianchi? What do you think it was?
I don't know. I really don't.
I mean, really,
I was gonna call. I was gonna call. I know you guys are up on this. On those phenomena, they really are not phenomena. They occur.
It's not down here in the south. It's just you're in Louisiana, aren't you?
I'm just over from you. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just
down,
he's a neighbor.
Down a little bit.
Well, man, I wish I had seen it. Lorianne, are you on there?
Yeah.
How did you get
Lorianne
on?
I am here.
Did you hear what Daniel was saying about Scalise announcing the 45th Speaker of the House?
Yeah, I was listening. And I kind of think that I follow.
Well, y'all kind of research that just a little bit. You know, get on the Internet.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to tell everybody to do.
Yeah.
Look back
yeah,
at the Congresses and the speakers, and tell me why Scalise came out and said Mike Johnson is the 45th speaker of the 45th Congress.
What?
Well, you know Scalise is ill and he's on medication, so I don't know.
There you go, Daniel. I told you they'd come up with some excuse.
I know it.
But, y'all, what we're saying, these are the little things that come out that most people just don't pay any attention to, you know, but this is very important, you know. It's a clue, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it.
What they're saying is, as a republic, taking away the Act of 1871 and the corporation that America became, this
right.
is where we would be. This is where we would be.
And we've already said that we had seen that the corporation was bankrupt. Trump bankrupted when he was in office.
That's right.
And it's gone. It's gone. But, Bianchi, is that thing still up there in the sky? Because I don't see anything anywhere.
I'll take a look. I'll step outside and take a look. I'll get back with you.
He's done seen a hovercraft UFO.
Gators grow so mean.
But getting back to that speaker of the house, this is something that is significant. You know, I mean, it's very important. I mean, they're not gonna come right out news, and you know, it's just these little bitty clues that they throw out there, and most people don't even pay any attention to it. You know.
Well, when was this, Kathy? What day was this?
Two days ago, I saw it on the news. I saw it.
Yeah, you can pull it up on YouTube.
Pull it up on YouTube. Where the police is announcing Mike Johnson as the 45th Speaker of the House. I mean, it's just, I mean, any way, you know, you can spin it, you can turn it upside down, whatever. But that is what he said. And we've had a lot more Speaker of the House than 45.
Yeah.
So the only explanation would be from the
44th using the numbers.
Speaker.
Yeah.
They're going back to when we were a republic in the 1870s.
Exactly.
And then everything that the corporation has done from then till now, or when Trump bankrupted them, all of it is null and void.
It's gone.
The bills they passed, all the stuff they've done is null and void. I saw Trump's rally tonight down there in Kissimmee, Florida. He said the first thing he was going to do when he got back in the White House, he was talking about doing executive orders, about laws and regulations, and all that's going to go away, which is going to go away anyway because it was all unlawful.
Exactly.
All of it. Everything this government has done, this corporation government that's been running our country all these decades, is going to be null and void. And that includes the IRS, the Federal Reserve, all these new little departments that's popped up, you know, that they've created, that this unlawful corporation government has forced on
the people.
Forced on the people. So, but that is something significant, what Scalise said.
Yeah.
And it needs to be looked at. Y'all need to do a little investigation.
I've got CNN Mike Scalise interview, and I don't see anything about that.
Oh, it ain't an interview. He was up there announcing. It was a press conference. He was announcing new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. And Mike Johnson's out from Louisiana, too, Fianchi.
Yeah, he's a good guy. It's in the north. It's up there. I had to get down, crawl out the door, and hide behind the air conditioner where I could see it. It's up there.
Hold on, man.
Mama's got a bush right here. I want to get behind this bush.
Look off to the north a little bit. It's a big, bright thing. My goodness.
What I'm seeing is something in the east, and it's pretty bright.
Kind of like the northeast, yes.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's really, really bright, but it looks like a star to me.
Well, they all start off looking like stars, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen a spaceship before. I don't know what they look like from a distance. That's got to be it, what I'm looking at. Got it. Now, in the west, there all summer long, we could see Venus coming up. You know, I could see Venus. And she's gone.
Hey, listen.
This is a great day. This is a day that's been coming for a long time.
He's about to announce
him. You know, if you think about what's happened these last 3 weeks, dysfunction, talking about how to fix, that's what this last Johnson as our next speaker. And what Mike laid out was a vision.
I typed in Steve Scalise announcing 45th Speaker of the House.
Not just the House back operating.
Okay, I'm looking.
Washington's working better. How we fix this broken
institution. He talks a good bit before he does that.
Mike talked in the House chamber about the symbolism of the House chamber. Mike Johnson, the Speaker.
Hang on.
My dear friend, Mike Johnson, the Speaker.
Damn it, I missed it again.
To introduce the 45th Speaker of the House, my dear friend,
there it is.
Mike Johnson, the Speaker.
He did say 45th, yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you something else, too. Mike Johnson has been referring to us as the Republic in some of his little speeches. Not the democracy. He's been referring to us as the Republic. If y'all can pull up some of his little speeches, press conferences and stuff that he's done since he's been Speaker, you know, you'll hear him mention the Republic, you know, not our democracy, you know.
Well, Kathleen, people down south make sure that the politicians say it right. It's going to be the South that saves the nation, them states up north. You'd be on the moon before you get anything good out of them anymore.
We're too cold to do anything. And it's just too damn cold. We already had snow already.
There's some good politicians up north. And I hope he won. I don't know if he did. I don't know if it was Wisconsin or Michigan. But I think his name was John James. He was running against...
He voted against the group. He voted against. He voted against Jim Jordan. So he can kiss it. As far as I can.
Oh, did he finally? Did he finally win?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, he's a congressman, but he ran against Stabenow.
Gotcha.
For Senate and senator, but he lost that election. But he did. He finally got a House seat, and he screwed up by voting against Jim Jordan.
Oh, my God.
Well, we don't know if, we don't know about Jim Jordan. I think he's a good guy, but, I heard somebody say that he's got skeletons in his closet, too.
I don't know. Did Congress vote themselves a $34,000 increase in pay?
I hope not.
I didn't hear that. Hello?
I heard that. I heard that. Maybe. I think Lori got scoop on that, too.
Lori? You can unmute yourself, dear, and tell us what the heck are you... What are you doing, Lori?
What?
Huh? What?
I'm not doing anything. I'm scrolling.
Oh, you're scrolling. I got you.
I got distracted.
We understand.
What am I being asked now?
What about Congress getting a raise? Do you know that?
They don't deserve it.
No. Bianchi said you need all of us.
They always vote themselves raises.
Hold on. Bianchi said you knew all the information on this raise, $34,000 raise. So you're saying you don't know anything about it, right?
I'm looking it up right now. I was not aware of this.
He threw you under the bus? Oh, I can never trust Bianchi.
Well, while she's looking that up, the interchange between Kennedy and the person that's on, I guess, immigration, you see how silly, you have to ask yourself, where do they find these people from?
California, apparently.
Yeah, one moment he's sure, next moment he's not sure.
Yeah.
And he's talking about it would change our immigration. That's the problem right there. They make policies and rules. Congress should be the one that's making the rules. These individuals are completely nuts. And Kennedy is right. If you seeking refuge, that means somebody's trying to kill you. So you run to the closest, safest spot, which is the country right next to you.
The next country, yeah.
Bianchi, it should be obvious to you where they get these people from. They're weasels. They get them from a weasel farm.
Weasel farm.
Well, I tell you, I don't know.
I mean, where how else can you describe these clowns? Look, it was so important, the manner in which John Kennedy questioned Mayorkas. He went through it like a cross-examining attorney. He led him step by step by step to the objective he was trying to get to, which ultimately was to convict him by his own words, in which he revealed he really doesn't want any other policy than what is in effect an open border. Why does he want an open border? Because they want to fundamentally transform the United States from what it has been to something which it should not be without the benefit of either constitutional amendments or legislation that is constitutional. They cannot get the results they want unless they do what they're doing. So it is clear everything he is saying is intended to obfuscate. It is not intended to reveal their grand design. Everything that man got up there in front and said was designed to conceal their real intentions. And John Kennedy, as smart as he is, knows how to get them to admit it without even accusing them of it.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
These are the worst people we have ever seen. These people are so evil in their, I don't know, they're banally evil. You know that woman, Anna Arendt? She was speaking about the concentration camp guards and the banality of evil. People like functionaries like Mayorkas and all the tiresome little personnel that Joe Biden surrounded himself with in his administration, they are banally evil. I mean, that's what they remind. If you read her book, and she thinks about these functionaries and bureaucrats who enabled the Nazi murder machine to function, they remind me of them, not in the scope of the things they're doing, because, of course, there's no comparison to that, not really, but in the manner, the type of people that they are. They are functionally identical almost to the same people in the SS bureaucracies, in the Reichshauptamt. They're the same kind of people. I've never seen anything like this bunch.
Now, how you doing, Sarge?
No, I'm doing all right. Again, I appreciate you having the show here so I get a chance to vent. Oh, and by the way, man, just to put a fine point on it, when you were speaking about you didn't know about the first man to own a slave in North America was a black man, well, that's not quite accurate. He was the first black man to have his claim to a slave upheld by a court in Virginia. So he was the first man in North America to have a claim to a slave upheld by a legal court in any of the colonies. And that set a precedent.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, the slave's name was a guy named Casor, C-A-S-O-R. Actually, he came to North America as an indentured servant, and his contract had expired. But Anthony Johnson had purchased his servitude contract before it ran out. And he used this as the basis on which to shoehorn Anthony Kaiser in that becoming a slave. And he was successful in his appeal before the court.
All right. See, I learned something again. Thank you, Sarge.
That's all good, man. That's what we're here for. We're here to enlighten each other.
Yeah, definitely. I do learn.
Well, you know,
there were plenty of other slave owners, though. Just to make it clear, there were plenty of other slave owners prior to Anthony Johnson. He wasn't the first. He was just first to bring his claim to court and have the court uphold it.
Some of the black slaveholders down in the South, their remnants still exist today. I don't want to name no names, but you had a few blacks that received 50 acres of land for every white settler that they sponsored to the United States. If it cost $500, they had to work it off, but it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
I get tired of talking about slavery.
Hey, I got news for you, though. They were talking about it a whole lot when they thought there was some money in it for them, wasn't it? When they thought they were about to get reparations, remember? Oh, they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. You couldn't hear the end to talk about slavery. Now they realize the Democratic Party has abandoned them for a new dance partner. You don't hear that much about it anymore, do you?
No.
Well, yeah, the way they're going about trying to do it, there is some things that happen that but they don't go about it like that. They want the United States Treasury to pay for it, or the Federal Reserve, whichever one you want to call them. But
Bianchi, I'm for them. I'm for them paying reparations as long as the Democratic Party pays it. I got no problem whatsoever with that. I would assist in that claim if they get the Democrat Party to fork over reparations for all they done to harm black people in the United States. Now, that's some reparations I can go for.
There you go. I can go for that myself. Sounds
amen.
Good.
I'd help them with the brief. I'd help them write it, do whatever research they wanted.
Well, what about that decision just came out of the Supreme Court with Roberts, Kavanaugh, and that other lady that
Barrett?
6-3. I guess it was Barrett. It had something to do with the certification of the 2020 election and had something to do with stating that states don't have exclusive control over elections. Now, that sounds kind of suspicious to me. It sounds kind of suspicious. And it had to do, it was centered around North Carolina case, too.
North Carolina?
Yeah, they had a lot of uproar over the requirement of ID in North Carolina. Well, hell, man, what's wrong with having ID? You play bingo, and if you win, you got to produce ID to show who you are so that they can turn your winnings amount into the IRS and make sure you pay taxes.
I have to have ID going on an airplane, going on an airline, commercial airline.
Yeah.
But you know what? States have to abide by the minimal requirements in the Constitution that's specified for federal elections. That's all they got to do. They can't change presidential requirements, like all of a sudden making up some story about some president having been involved in insurrection, when clearly Section 3 of the 14th Amendment doesn't even mention the president. It starts off with a senator. Now, you would think if they intended the Section 3 to apply to presidents or vice presidents, they would have put them first instead of a senator or a member of the House of Representatives. They're not even mentioned. The president and the vice president are not even mentioned. Besides, it wasn't an insurrection anyway. It was a riot. Stupid. And he didn't encourage them to do anything anyway. That was illegal or insurrectionary. See, these people, look, we all know what these people are trying to do. They are doing everything they can to derail Donald Trump's presidency, to force him to spend resources and energy to fight this nonsense. And let's not pretend there's anything legitimate in anything these people do, because there's nothing they do that is legit. It is all, everything they do is designed to help them maintain power. Nothing less, nothing more. Maintain power, because that is the only way, one, they're going to be able to maintain their objectives, and two, prevent them from being scrutinized and probably being sent to the hoot cow or the dungeons.
You're right.
Every time we see one of these little operations, we know what it's for. It's not there. Connie Willis didn't bring charges against Donald Trump because she believed he tried to perpetrate fraud. He didn't believe that he lost the election. That's not why she did it. That's not why they looked at the tax assessment evaluation in New York of his property and relied upon that rather than the fair market value. That's not why they claim that President of the United States, who was negotiating returning documents under the Presidential Records Act, now they accuse them of espionage, and not espionage, but mishandling classified documents. It ain't got nothing to do with the law. It's lawfare. It's lawfare. They are waging lawfare against Donald Trump.
Well, wasn't Fannie involved in a property transaction where it's worth more than what it was stated?
That was Letitia James.
They found
Letitia James. Letitia James did not mention campaign contributions, among other things, on her FEC filings and her state election filing.
Well, then we need to go after her.
She's the Attorney General of New York.
Let's go after her.
She kind of got the market on that one cornered.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to look at pictures of those old Gallups and try to replicate one and park it right out in front of the state capitol.
Gibbet. Yeah, we need a bunch of gibbets going up all over the place.
Oh.
I'm telling you, man, the corruption is at an endemic phase in this country right now, and I'm talking about the highest levels of government, from the presidency on down. Everywhere you look, you are seeing some form of corrupt government everywhere, and it is concentrated. It's everywhere, frankly, but it is truly concentrated to a maximum degree in blue states. I mean, the concentration levels are off the chain.
Oh, by the way, there's been a request for your presence. You and I presence on the show tomorrow, but with the G-Man.
Who was that, Bianchi?
Victor. He called me twice. I tried to call you.
Wait, Victor wants you? Oh, no, I left my phone in the charger. Left the house on her. I left my phone in the charger.
Wants you, too.
Oh, he wants me. Oh, I thought he meant you and Donnie.
No, you and I.
Don't want me.
Okay. The G-Man tomorrow. Okay, cool.
I don't think he know you, Donnie.
What time does he come on tomorrow, Bianchi?
Oh, 6:30.
Okay. Sounds good.
I called you two or three times.
Now, I left my phone in the charger, man. I was in a hurry to get out the house and left in the charger. Got the ring.
You need to get a new answering recorder. That thing, you got to put people to sleep, man, before the damn buzzer goes off.
All right. I'm going to get one of them diving alarms from old submarines. Dive. Oom-la. I think so. How about that?
That'll work. That'll keep you awake.
There you go.
That'll keep you awake. Let me get back. An ex-Trump appointee has been sentenced to nearly 6 years in prison. Francisco Klein, a former State Department appointee of Trump, was convicted of 8 felonies following the January 6, 2021 riot at the Capitol. Another probably an overcharge. 8 felonies? What the hell did this guy do? Man.
What did he do, step in and out the door 8 times?
I don't know. That's, damn. What did he do? Let's see here. Let's see if this...
Ex-Trump appointee gets nearly 6 years in jail for January 6th Capitol attack. A former State Department appointee was sentenced Friday to 70 months in prison for assaulting police officers during the January 6, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol, according to the Department of Justice. Frederico Klein, who served as a politically appointed State Department official in former President Donald Trump's administration, was convicted of 8 felonies following a bench trial before Judge McFadden. The DOJ stated that Mr. Klein, 45, a former U.S. Marine from Virginia, was part of the group of rioters who illegally entered the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6, 2021, and assaulted police officers. According to court documents, Mr. Klein allegedly shoved police officers who were trying to control the crowd, telling them, "You can't stop this," and calling out to rioters behind him to push against the police. Prosecutors said that Mr. Klein waged a relentless siege on police officers for over 90 minutes as he tried to get into the building and stop Congress from certifying President Joe Biden's electoral victory over Mr. Trump. Mr. Klein also used a stolen police riot shield as a wedge to thwart police from closing the door. He joined the rioters aggressively pushing in unison against the police line and chanting "Heave Ho," the DOJ said. He was arrested in March 2021. The court has sentenced him to 70 months in prison and 24 months of supervised release. Mr. Klein was also ordered to pay $5,000 in fines and restitution, according to the DOJ. Mr. Klein worked in the State Department's Office of Brazilian and Southern Cone Affairs from 2017 until he resigned from that position on January 19, 2021. A day before President Biden's inauguration. Prosecutors said that Mr. Klein's participation in the riot was likely motivated by a desire to keep his job as a presidential appointee. As an employee of the federal government, Klein was endowed with the trust of the American people and to uphold the law. He violated that trust on January 6th when he attacked the very country for which he was paid to work, prosecutors said. Defense attorney Stanley Woodward has accused prosecutors of exaggerating Mr. Klein's role in the riot due to his political connection to the Trump administration. Accordingly, Mr. Klein should be sentenced for his actual role in the events of the day, and not the more egregious conduct of others with which the government would have Mr. Klein be found guilty by association, Mr. Woodward wrote. Mr. Klein's co-defendant, Stephen Cappuccio, was convicted of 6 felonies. The 53-year-old resident of Falls Church, Virginia, was handed 85 months in prison and 24 months of supervised release, the DOJ said. The duo separately attended Mr. Trump's Stop the Steal rally on January 6, 2021.
All right. So he shot a police officer. Daniel, are you on or is it Kathy? One of you just dropped off.
You know, Donnie, I think he probably did do something wrong, but I think they amped up the charges against him because of his association with Donald Trump. I think that's fairly clear. They amped it up. I don't think what he did was probably worthy of 5 years in the slammer. No.
No. Joe Biggs, I forgot how many years he got. Oh, man. They just ramped up everybody.
How many years did Epps get?
He ain't got nothing yet. He ain't even been charged with a crime yet. They just had something come out the other day where they caught him on an audio telling people to let's go into the Capitol. They ain't even charged him yet.
Somebody just sent, I think somebody just sent me something about Epps. Now I got to just find it.
I got something on him. I'm going to find it, and I'll tell you what it said, because it was something new.
Yeah, because somebody just sent that to me. So, yeah, it's got to be new. Oh, here it is right here. Let me...
Into the Capitol.
What? This is fine. The Capitol Police never stopped Jacob Chansley.
Okay,
they
this is
they
acted new,
as
though.
His tour guide.
Hold on.
What's up, guys? It's your boy, Benny. Fact pattern recognition. It's really important in this industry and every industry, in finance, banking, and whatever, betting on sports. You should be able to see fact patterns. And through those fact patterns, you can make an intelligent decision, right, as to what's true, what's not, what's likely, what's going to happen. Occam's razor sort of things, right? And so if you're establishing a world based on fact, you're going to want to make sure that you're putting together all the right pieces. And that's what we want to do, especially on a topic like this, okay? Ray Epps, touchy subject, right? Ray Epps is suing Fox News right now for defamation. And so it's really important to get the story of Ray Epps, right? What do we know and what don't we know? All right? And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to establish what we do know. What we do know is that Ray Epps has pled guilty to rioting at the Capitol. Now, many say that he was undercharged, right, and that many people that behaved far less, let's just say aggressively on January 6th, they got much heavier and harsher penalties and charging, right? They had all these charges stacked up against them. Ray Epps had a misdemeanor charge stacked against him. Ray Epps pled guilty to rioting. He was charged with rioting, with Capitol riots. Reps has been charged with disorderly and disruptive conduct in connection with January 6th. After 61 years old, he was charged by the Department of Justice for his involvement in the U.S. Capitol riots. The misdemeanor count of disorderly or disruptive conduct on restricted grounds. The former Marine previously said in his lawsuit against Fox News that he expected the charges to be charged over the attack. So Ray Epps has pled out, and Ray Epps has stated his case again and again to the corporate press, which lavish him with praise. Okay, that's another fact, right? Here are other facts, right? You can see video of Ray Epps on the morning of January 6th urging people to go into the Capitol again and again and again.
As soon as President Trump is finished speaking, we are going to the Capitol. It's that direction. That's where our true problems lie.
President Trump is done speaking. We are going to the Capitol. That's where our problems are. Okay, folks, we need
that's where our problems are.
As soon as President Trump stops speaking, we are going to the Capitol. The Capitol's in that direction. Let people know. Spread the word.
Okay, so you've probably seen this clip. I got to tell you, there were planned protests at the Capitol. So it would stand to reason, even though Ray Epps seemed to be organizing this, or like obviously organizing this, he's like ordering people what to do. There were planned protests, peaceful protests at the Capitol building, right? Not the biggest bombshell thing. Now, on the night before, the clips that get the most attention is Ray Epps saying we need to go into the Capitol the night before, right? In these clips. Now, you've seen, we need to go into the Capitol. We need to go into the Capitol. Ray Epps says on tape. Okay. So that's what draws so much attention. However, there's something else, which is pretty shocking, actually. Based on a new investigative report from Truth in Media, why was Ray Epps treated as a victim by the same people who condemned almost everyone else around him as a threat? This is Laura Logan. She did a deep dive into Ray Epps. And there's one particular clip that is going bananas because we've never seen this. It's a brand new clip of Ray Epps. It's a brand new clip, and it's something that we've never seen. And I think it sheds shocking light on premeditation, right? Narrative premeditation and action premeditation. And there's no other way to look at it. I'll let you watch it for yourself and interpret for yourself. Check this out from Laura Logan in her new documentary.
You're my neighbor.
Then he leaned in and whispered something he apparently did not want to say out loud.
Well, we're not here to fight, man.
We're here to storm the Capitol. Did I hear that right?
I'm not kidding.
We're here to storm the Capitol. Hell yeah. All right. Have a good night. Be safe. Be safe, brother.
That one moment changed what we knew about Ray Epps that night when he whispered storm the Capitol before it had happened and echoed the official narrative before it was broadcast across the nation.
The supporters of President Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol building.
Thousands storming the Capitol.
This mob that stormed the Capitol.
Stormed the Capitol.
Stormed. The Capitol.
Stormed the Capitol. Stormed the U.S. Capitol building.
Stormed the United States Capitol.
He ran it through forensic software that technical investigators use for analyzing audio and video to make sure we heard correctly and it had not been altered.
Not kidding.
We're here to storm the Capitol. Hell yeah. All right. Have a good night. Be safe.
And searched through hours of footage
countless news stories, Epps' FBI case documents, and his deposition before the January 6th committee to see if it had been discussed. With the exception of one writer we found on Substack, it hadn't.
So Ray Epps saying, we're here to storm the Capitol. It's what the man says on camera. I mean, leans in and whispers it. And then he says, I'm not kidding. We're not here to fight, as far as I can see from the transcript. We're not here to fight. See, we're not here to fight. We're here to storm the Capitol. Really strange. But then also, of course, that becomes the narrative then, as it pushes forward. It is enough to make you ask a lot of questions. Now, another established fact, and really important established fact, is that there were an enormous number of undercover agents at the United States Capitol. Okay? We have the body camera footage of these guys, right? So now the body camera footage is effectively is now released in these court filings. People are actually getting off. They're being found not guilty because of footage like this.
Help him up.
Go.
Push him up.
So these are undercover officers encouraging violent behavior, encouraging illegal behavior, right? Trespassing on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol. A lot of people are getting hit with trespassing charges. Trespassing on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol. So, like, here's an officer that is encouraging somebody to do that. Here's another incredible piece of footage of a bunch of officers.
Investigation. Mm-hmm. Actually, disrespectfully, is anyone
here uniformed? Here are uniformed cops talking with a bunch of undercover cops who whip out their undercover credentials.
Appreciate it.
What? I mean, so you just have to assume, like, this is weird. Like, this place was crawling with undercover cops and crawling with undercover agents. And that's what you've gotten, actually, in congressional testimony when it's been asked, how many undercover confidential human sources did the FBI or law enforcement have? The FBI can't answer.
Human sources. Did the FBI have confidential human sources embedded within the January 6th protesters on January 6th of 2021?
Well, Congressman, as I'm sure you can appreciate, I have to be very careful about what I can say about when.
Even now, because that's what you told us 2 years ago.
May I finish? About when we do and do not, and where we have and have not used confidential human sources.
Christopher Ray.
But to the extent that there's a suggestion, for example, that the FBI's confidential human sources or FBI employees in some way instigated or orchestrated January 6th, that's categorically false.
Did you have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters inside the Capitol on January the 6th prior to the doors being opened?
Again, I had to be very careful.
It should be a no.
Should be a no.
Did not tell the American people
no. Can't help anyone.
We did not have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters positioned inside the Capitol.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
You should not read anything into my...
What Clay Higgins is getting at there is you had people pre-stationed inside the Capitol LARPing as Trump supporters as though you knew this was going to happen. And, of course, we have the footage. This is the body cam footage. This has been reviewed by the court and has been played in trials. You have the footage of law enforcement officers behaving criminally, encouraging criminal behavior. This is demonstrable, right? This is empirical. You can see it for yourself. Don't believe me? You can watch it for yourself. We play it often. You can see it. They're encouraging illegal behavior. This is called entrapment, right? So what's to be made of this new Ray Epps footage? We're here to storm the Capitol. I mean, dude, at the very least, that's premeditation. Like, at the very least, that there, this is empirical evidence that this, the storming of the Capitol, whatever that, however that manifested, was premeditated, right? I mean, moments before, Ray Epps is on camera saying we need to go into the Capitol. That's also on tape. So that's why people simply ask questions, right? Like, that's what we must do in order to ascertain the truth, is ask questions. And you can see time after time, again after again, Like, we need to go into the Capitol, right? This has been played a gajillion times. Everyone around him goes, no! I mean, are you allowed to repeat the man's words?
All right. That's Benny Johnson, by the way. Yep, I think I stopped it. Anyway, there you go. I think that's I've never seen that tape where he's whispering. He made a mistake because the guy had his camera right there. but hey, he got a misdemeanor charge, and he's scot-free. And he'll probably win a big settlement from Fox. And whoever, I thought he was suing the Post, New York Post, but I guess not. So, are we still on? I don't even know if we're still on. Hello?
Yeah, we're still on.
You hear you just gone.
Everybody just got quiet.
Hey, hi, everybody fell asleep. Sorry about that.
No. We were fascinated listening to that tape. And Ray,
I never heard that one. Have you, sorry?
Implicating himself. No, the last one is new. Laura Logan just released it. It's a brand new tape. The other ones I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, the other ones I've heard, but that last one where he's whispering.
Yeah, we're
Robert,
here storming
totally
the Capitol.
Yeah. Wow. And he got a misdemeanor. He won't get nothing will be done. They didn't want to charge him with anything anyway. When you can charge somebody that's sitting in his hotel room, I forgot how many years he got, and get put in prison not even being there. Lady in Alaska, her and her husband were sleeping at, I forgot what time, 5 o'clock in the morning. They busted in the door, the FBI. They had the wrong people. They were there in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, but they weren't inside the Capitol. And they showed her a picture. This is your mug. This is your picture. We got it. And it didn't even look like her. But, of course, she got arrested.
That's what I'm talking about. The FBI should have checked in with the sheriff than what they're doing. I suppose that those people had been just so happen playing a Thompson submachine gun and then seen all this and would have wiped all those agents out.
Yeah. It
I
could
know what
have,
I would have done.
Been a, could have been a blood. I tell you what, it's dangerous. Dangerous going, you know, you're innocent as hell and somebody's banging like that on your door. Come
then
on.
They're kicking it in?
Yeah.
Did you say they kicked it in?
Just no, they use a ram.
Same difference.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
country's gone to pot, man. Anytime that you got your justice system is working the way it is, people having bench trials rather than trial by jury, it's gone in the pot.
You can't trust the judges. You can't trust the people that you put you know, as a juror. You can't trust those guys, you know, to be honest, because if you're a Trump supporter, you're going to jail.
When a prosecutor presents evidence or stating their case to a grand jury, the old cliche always kicked in about being able to prosecute or indict a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
One side. The prosecution gets to present their case for the grand jury. And it's, actually, though, grand jury is in the Constitution. It's only intended to provide probable cause, not supposed to be a proof of anything. That's why they keep grand jury proceedings secret, because only one side gets to make its case. That's why grand jury proceedings are not supposed to be leaked out. That's why once you're charged, then you get the opportunity to confront the witnesses against you and to cross-examine them. and they got to present you with a list of everything, all the evidence they plan to present against you in court. And like I said, grand juries are constitutional, and that's the reason they keep everything secret, because only one side is presented. But when you get these grand jury leaks, that and we know why they do it these days, because they're trying to get in evidence that is otherwise inadmissible.
Well, that's another item that needs to be a proposal for a constitutional amendment, because it's completely out of control. It's abused. It's used to weaponize against innocent people. You're denying them of all the information that they should be entitled to. It's just running amok.
Yep. Now, there is definitely an argument to be made on that one. It is being abused. It would be okay if it wasn't abused the way it is, but nowadays these people use it to selectively leak information that they know they cannot get admitted in court. And that is wrong.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
They weaponize. You can't trust anything anymore.
No, remember what their goal is. Their goal is to fundamentally transform the United States of America. We gotta be just aware of that. It's not just people with bad intentions, or maybe they don't understand what. You know, I get a little bit frustrated when people say, I just don't understand why they're doing it, because they want to transform the country and every major institution. Every major institution is under assault. Every single one. They are framing everything in terms of oppressors and oppressed, victims and victimizers, colonizers and colonized, and all of these tropes they trot out, they all go back to Marxist critical theory, all of it. And we got to realize their assault is total, because these people at their base, at their essence, are totalitarians. That's why they're waging a total assault on every institution and tradition of the United States. But I think more and more people are waking up to it now. I don't know if it's going to be enough, but I know it's more than it used to be. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I think COVID enabled it to a great extent, because people also were locked them in their houses. They had time to do a little bit of research. They saw what their kids were being taught in these schools, and they couldn't believe it. And I think COVID started opening the door for the potential of a third great awakening in the United States.
If anything out of COVID, good, that's one thing. The parents seen what they were being taught.
Well, that interaction between Kennedy is all more why come any government official, employee, and especially someone that's running for elected position, should have undergone a course and passed it with a passing grade on the fundamentals of the United States, including the obvious, the U.S. Constitution, and how it applies to people, citizens, and their due process. I mean, that's everybody. And they need to be term limit. I don't care if you're the head of a department, you need to be term limit. Because you get there, then you start creating these cliques, like we've seen those that was in the State Department spying on Donald Trump's conversation, twisting them, and coming forth with the news, and now you got all kind of stories running around. Everything but the sky is falling.
Yeah. Wow. You're right, Pianaki. Go back to the switchboard. We got a lot of people in the switchboard. If you want to join, push 1. Be glad to get you on. Maybe I'll be glad. I don't know. Oh, but don't forget, everybody.
Oh, by the way,
fall back Johnny, tonight. Yes, sir.
Did you see that video where CNN accidentally caught a woman stuffing a ballot box on live TV in 2020?
Uh-huh.
You got the chat room open? Because if now I want to put a link to the chat room. Because CNN was just doing a report, and it was like one of these man-in-the-street reports, and they were asking people what they thought about the election. And they just happened to turn around, this woman in a minivan pulls up, and they're going to ask her a question. And her hands are full of ballots. I tried to count them. It looked like she had about 25 or 30. And she was stuffing the ballots in the ballot box.
Put them in there,
in
buddy.
Wisconsin.
Put in the chat room. I'll play it.
Yeah, let me see if I can get it for you.
That's it.
On Twitter. Here you go. I got it right here. I'm going to post it. I mean, it was amazing. They caught this woman. I mean, I'm looking at her right now. Let's see. She got to have at least 20-some ballots in her hand. At least. I mean, her hands are full of ballots. She's just stuffing them in there. Now, of course, she goes, oh, I got a big family. And they all fit.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
Like
I mean, it's almost like something out of a Saturday Night Live skit, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the elections are all fair. You know that. And Connecticut, did you see that?
Most secure in history. Not just fair. It was
the
most secure election in the history of mankind.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that lady in Connecticut in the mayor race. Wow. I don't know how many she stuffed in there. She made 3 or 4 trips, and she had some guy take a bunch and stuff them in at 5. She started about 5:30 in the morning. And the judge said, hey, this just happened. And he said, I can't.
I just posted that clip, man. You got to watch it. It's hilarious.
Okay,
it is hilarious. It's very short. But, I mean, look at her face. She looks absolutely insecure. She's going to get away with this. She's not trying to hide it or anything. She seems to be rather cheerful. I mean,
they're happy.
And there's no doubt about it. This was widespread in 2020.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You got it up?
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to put it on this right here and click paste. And hit this. I got to move it all around here.
Like they take a good look at the woman. Look at how many ballots are in her hand. And look at the expression on her face. She's wearing a mask, though. She's clearly smiling.
Don't you know? This is...
You can see this woman right here casting her vote. Did you vote for Reagan or Jimmy Carter? Carter, okay.
Holy.
We don't get too personal with people here, but you can see... They
pulled that camera right away, right?
Yeah, look at him.
Did you vote for Reagan or Jimmy Carter? Carter, okay. We want to get you personal.
That was a joke.
Wow.
There's actually a traffic.
That was a joke. He was making a joke, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't want to ask him those. But then, did you see her? Did you look at this woman? How many ballots do you think she had in her hand?
Let me just freeze this thing. She had.
And you gotta wonder how many drops she made. She was a mule, man. She probably made about 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9 drops at different places.
Yeah. Wow. And they moved that camera right away from her too.
Didn't they know? They caught her.
Yeah. Yeah. You can definitely. Wow. Yeah. That's You know, it's amazing. And they're going to, you know, certain states are going to have these drop boxes again. And it's the same thing's going to happen over again if we don't stop.
Well, that was
this
in Wisconsin. The Supreme Court of Wisconsin ruled drop boxes to be illegal. So I don't know if they're going to happen in Wisconsin. Oh, yeah.
Well,
Supreme Court ruled they were illegal. Pennsylvania, the second highest court in Pennsylvania ruled that the Pennsylvania legislature changed election law in Pennsylvania to allow absentee balloting in violation of the Pennsylvania Constitution. Because even though the legislature can change election law, they are bound by their state constitution.
Mm. Jeez. Oh, man. I tell you, if they need to have three or four different cameras on. It's like Detroit. I call it Cobalt Hall because that's what it was called when I was growing up, where they had they were tabulating all these things. At 3:30 in the morning, our car pulls up and hands one of the workers that opens the door and hands him something, and then a van pulls up and they unload box after box after box on this cart and pulls it into Cobalt Hall. And then I don't know, not too long after that, same car pulls up, hands another piece of paper, and another van pulls up, this time backs up, and another cart full of boxes, which are now these ballots come in. So what were they doing bringing ballots in after the election? Of course, all should have been all counted and done with. Everybody was sent home 3:30 in the morning, and nobody says a word. Nothing happened at all. And that was in Detroit. And when I stopped watching Michigan results, I thought Trump had it won. All of a sudden, boom.
3 o'clock in the morning came along.
Yeah, 3:30 came along, and what happened? It's like Trump. He said he went to bed. He was so far up in Pennsylvania, there was no way he could lose. And he got back up. He said, "What happened?" What happened? Yeah, what the hell did happen? Tell you right now what happened. Anyway, the judge threw everything out and said, I can't tell you who won this election, so we're going to have a do-over. Now, the election is supposed to be, I think, this Tuesday. I think.
Yeah, it is. You're talking about the one in Maine now, aren't you? You're talking about the election in Maine?
Connecticut, I thought.
There were two. One was in Maine, one was in Connecticut. I couldn't remember which one. The election was 4 days hence. But there were two cases that got overturned.
Well, yeah, he kind of, but the election, and this guy, the guy that they voted in to be mayor, he was mayor a long time ago and got 7 years in prison for ripping off the people of the city and all kinds of crap. Man, he got 7 years.
And
they vote him back in. They vote him, and this is a third re-election. My God, come on, folks. Wake the hell up.
He's a rat.
Donnie, I sent you the email on the $34,000 raise.
Oh.
Hey, Donnie.
Well, there you are.
I'm listening. I cooked a chicken stew today, so I had to put it all in bowls and freeze it. If you were down here, you could have some.
That sounds very good, chicken stew. I haven't had any in a long time.
But listen, he's talking about that guy that, who they arrested him. He's been, same thing happened to Brazil's president. I only know he's Portuguese. He's got about four names, but, he's nicknamed Lula. Have y'all heard of him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so he served 12 years president, and then he was out, and somebody else got it. But they got a bunch of charges against him, just like they did Trump, and they sentenced him to 10 years in prison. But one judge overturned it because he didn't get it. They were trying to keep him from running for president again, just like they're doing Trump.
No.
So he's president now. He's back. This is that last election in Brazil where supposedly people took to the streets because Lula won. Well, that's not why they took to the streets. They didn't like this other guy. But we were told, see, we're told lies all the time about the truth, you know. So I just read an article about him the other day, sitting in the doctor's office, and it was a pretty good article. He's a good guy. Lula is. He was a good president. And the people loved him, you know. So
that's why they wanted to get rid of him. Whoa.
Do what? The deep state.
I said that's why they wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah, the deep state. Every country has got deep state. Every country. Or did. I think a lot of them are cleaned up by now. But they didn't want him to run again. So they did just like they're trying to put Trump in jail, and it's not going to happen. And all this election fraud, I was listening to you talking about it. These trials that Trump is going to be a part of, all this election fraud is going to come out in these trials, and it's going to be televised. You know, some of them are, maybe not all of them. You know, so people can actually see the election fraud and what happened in 2020. So,
well, you know what really is significant about this case in Connecticut, though, guys? Let me tell you what it is.
What?
Because they used the techniques they used to prove their case in court were the same techniques that Dinesh D'Souza used in the movie 2001 Music. They used geofencing of cell phones to isolate them to a particular area or geolocate them in a particular area. And then they back it up with surveillance phone of the people who own cell phones in the ballot box. So when they tried to invalidate Dinesh D'Souza, oh, that technique doesn't work, which, by the way, was the same technique the FBI used in January 6th protester. They used the same technique there. They were valid for that purpose, but not valid for Dinesh D'Souza. But anyway, the same techniques were used in order to make this case in Connecticut. At Dinesh
D'Souza.
I'm telling you, the truth is going to come out. The only question is when.
All of this technology is going to come back to bite them in the butt, you know. It's going to be used against them. All the technology they used to win the elections is going to come back to bite them in the butt because they've got it. They've got it all. All of the fraud in every state, they have it all. Now, this one little mayor thing up here, you know, I remember Donnie saying one time, you know, he'd just rather, what if they find out that it really was election fraud, you know, and you know, what are we going to do? You know, we don't have protocol. It's never happened before. Well, these little towns and maybe states will start doing that, you know, checking their ballots, you know, and remove whoever won from office, you know. So that's going to be like the Supreme Court, like courts use the precedents of past cases. They use it to rule on other cases. So I think that's what's going to happen. But Trump will come out with all of this in these trials that he's going to be in. So the whole United States can see for themselves that it was actually fraudulent, everything, all of it, and how
well,
they did
actually,
it.
You know, fortunately for us in this regard, the Constitution allows states to determine the manner of their elections, provided they are consistent with what the minimal standards of the Constitution provides. So therefore, universal mail-in balloting has made it easier to cheat. There's no doubt about that.
Yes.
It made it much easier to cheat. Those states that want to cheat and want to allow it so others can cheat are going to fight tooth and nail to not change the law for precisely that reason. And when we see that universal mail-in balloting allowed this universal fraud, election fraud, then you'll be able to tell the states that were most culpable are the ones that fight against in-person balloting, except for those who are genuinely infirm or not going to be in the country because they're in the service or they're on genuine business that requires them to be somewhere else. Like the state of Pennsylvania had. State of Pennsylvania has very stringent requirements for absentee balloting, and the legislature of the state of Pennsylvania was found by the second highest court in Pennsylvania to have violated the state constitution when they changed law, the election law, to universal mail-in balloting. The Constitution of Pennsylvania says there has very strict requirements to allow for absentee balloting. You've got to meet them. They didn't amend the Constitution. They just passed the law.
Well, that's where the DOJ is going to come in handy in the future. It's going to be cleaned up. You know, all your deep state's going to be gone. And Department of Justice, they'll go after these people. They will go after these governors, mayors, DAs, whatever. They'll go after them, the legislatures. You know, if they have broke the laws, then the DOJ will go after them. So it's going to be cleaned up. It won't be 100%, but it's going to be close. You know.
Oh, no, we'll never get rid of all election fraud, but what we want to do is get
never.
Rid of fraud that is outcome determinative. We want to get rid of that
it's
kind
just
of fraud.
The fraud that's right in your face and nobody does anything about it, okay?
Yeah.
That kind
of
fraud.
True.
It's right in your face.
Right.
And I think that's when the DOJ is going to step in, the new one, you know.
No,
the one that is not
the
under
one.
The corporation, you know.
I don't think it's going to be possible to eliminate all election fraud, but I think we keep it changing the outcome of an election. I think we keep it down to that.
Yes. You're always going to have your crooks and criminals and you're always going to have them. They're not going to be able to clean it all up, you know, but they're going to come close to it, though.
Again.
Law
and,
order.
You get the accusation
of
bad faith. You'd be accused. Bad faith. If you want to have integrity, you just want to keep poor people from going into some of the nonsense like that. We just got to be ready for this stuff. We got to be ready for the pushback. Have our arguments ready to knock them down because there's no dealing with these people. We got to keep saying it. They want to fundamentally transform the United States of America without going through the process necessary to do so. They want it because they know they can't do it because the American people never go along with it. So they're going to do it. Not by hook and or by crook, and mainly through the use of stealth, wokeism, and Marxism. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, it only takes a handful, like our state. It only takes a handful, maybe the governor, you know, to wreck the whole system if they're crooked, you know. And they control the whole state, you know. So it only takes a handful of them compared to the population of that state. You know, you've got maybe 100 with the power to do this over all these thousands of citizens in that state. You know, those are the ones you've got to get rid of. You know, vote them out. Arrest them, you know. I'm not so quite sure about our governor. I just hadn't decided. But I voted for her because I wasn't going to vote for the other one, you know. But it will be cleaned up. It will. Sarge, did you watch Trump's rally in Kissimmee, Florida, this evening?
No, I'm afraid not. Fill me in on the highlight.
I did.
Well, it was a pretty good one. It was a pretty good one. I mean, he even talked about what he was going to do when he got back in office, and he was talking about the DOJ and everything else. Everything's going to be cleaned up. And when he said they were all leaving, all the deep state would be gone. So.
Yeah, they booed. Here's a little bit.
I assure you, we ignore it.
That's Asa Hutchinson was booed when he's talking about Trump if he gets nominated. It'll be bad for the country, and then...
Oh, you
ought
to see what they did to Chris Christie, man. He lost it on the cloud.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, man. He lost it, man.
Trump was talking about Chris Christie in that rally. And, okay.
Let me play this Chris Christie speech. This is from Mark Caputo.
Is beneath. And as people watch today, if your arguments are so strong, if your arguments are so great, and mine are so bad, then just keep quiet. Let me make my awful arguments. And then reject them out of hand. But the problem is...
Hey, he's got 3% of the vote so far, and what's he doing on stage? I don't know what the hell he's doing there.
Trump was talking about Christie in his speech tonight, and somebody from the audience yelled out, "He's a fat pig." And Trump heard him, and he said, "You can't say that. You can't call him a fat pig." He said, "You can't say fat. You can say pig, but you can't say fat." Then he looked at somebody and said, "He just called him a fat pig." I mean, he just repeated it about 4 times.
Oh, yeah.
That's why people don't like Trump, I think, because he's so bold like that. You know.
Well, he's definitely bold.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he just comes right out with what we are thinking, though, you know. And he also said that, he's mad because I didn't give him an appointment in my administration. He's talking about Christie.
Well, that's when he decided not to like Trump, if you remember right. You know, he was all for Trump. And then all of a sudden... he hated Trump, and it was because he didn't get appointed to anything.
Well, he wanted to be attorney general, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Trump did not give him an appointment.
No.
Hell hath no fury like a politician scorned.
Well, you know, to be truthful with you, that's a dumb reason not to like a politician anyway. What good did he do in legislation? And bills and jobs.
Yeah.
He done a damn good job.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Are you
going to
have Trump or Christie?
No.
Trump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Christie had a scandal with that bridge. Remember that bridge?
Yeah.
Deal?
There was a scandal there. Oh, we only got 90 seconds. Lori-Ann, we got a lot of people still in the switchboard. Tell them about your show tomorrow night. Lori-Ann. Oh, Lori-Ann.
Trying to get to my mute button. Yeah, tune in. This is the Libertarian with Lori-Ann show tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Valerie will be back as my co-host, and we got a number of possible topics to throw out there, and we'll see what sticks and what we end up actually talking about as per usual. But definitely a lot of good stuff to discuss tomorrow night on the show. So thanks for letting me do the plug.
No problem. You got a great show, and Robert has a show on Friday night, and I believe it's 7 o'clock. I was there last night, but it seemed like it was later. Anyway, it's Conservative Nation Media, Conservative Nation Media. Robert is a great host, and he's got a damn good show, and it was very good last night. So check his show out tomorrow, or Friday night, excuse me, and Lori-Ann's show. And
yeah, his show is on at 6 p.m. as well, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern for Conservative Nation Media.
Thank you. And Joseph Gibson has a show on Tuesday night, and I believe it's at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So check his show out. If you like politics and you like answers and questions to answers to questions you might have. I'll get it out right. Check them all out. They have damn good shows.
And I'm going to hang up. Things.
Why?
I've got to go feed Mama. I know it's late, but she's sleeping a lot now.
Tell Daniel, I noticed, you know, his number popped up when he hung up. Tell him we don't appreciate somebody hanging out for that, saying goodbye.
And in tonight's when you turn the clocks, let's say you fall back, you go back an hour.
Oh, that's
I think
right.
Tonight is.
So everybody gets an extra hour of sleep, so I should get to be nice and rested for my show tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night,
Kathy.
Good night, Kathy.
Tell Marianne I love her.
I will. All right, bye-bye.
All right,
hey, Donnie, I think you missed the best part of what Chris Christie had to say, and rather the reaction of the crowd to him. Would you like to hear it? Because it's a doozy.
Oh, absolutely. Play it.
Okay, hang on a second. Let me get it up here for you. Hold on. Here we go.
What a shock here for Trump. I'm going to fall over dead. Now, look. Every one of those boos, every one of those catcalls, every one of those yells, will not solve one problem we face in this country, will not make this country better. Your anger against the truth is reprehensible. When you think about the problems that our country and this world is facing, when you think about that, this type of pettiness is beneath the process of electing a president. Okay. And as people watch today, if your arguments are so great and mine are so bad.
You played that part, but you heard you didn't play the other part before that. We said your anger against the truth is reprehensible. He lost it out there. He was really shaken by the reaction of the audience to what he was saying.
Hell, he sounds like a used car salesman.
I don't know. Used car salesman, you tried to butter you up, not insult you. He was insulting the audience.
Oh, he sure as hell was.
Yeah.
These guys, I don't know why they even get invited to these things. They don't even have 5%. None of them. Nikki Haley, I think, the last time I seen, she had 14%.
Well, look, Donnie, Chris Christie's running on past fumes. He was a governor of a major state with a significant electoral count, so that's why he's there. He's running on the fumes of his past glories.
Right.
And he's a never-Trumper. So there you go.
No, he's definitely that.
Yeah.
He is definitely that. I don't know. I don't know who's donating money to these folks, but somebody is.
Yeah, well, take it for what it's worth. He's embittered because, like I said, he was scorned by Trump. And that's one of the things that embitters him, because I'm sure he sees Trump as lesser than he is. Trump was an upstart celebrity businessman who usurped his rightful role as an heir apparent who worked long and hard in the trenches of politics. I have no doubt that is a great deal of his angst about his dislike of Donald Trump.
I think you're right. I believe that's exactly. I believe that to a lot of them, like Mitt Romney. I'm sure that's.
Well,
to do with.
Oh yeah, he's governor of the state of Massachusetts. Like I said, another major northeastern state. He checked all the boxes, mm-hmm. you know. And here this guy comes out of nowhere in his first bid at public office. He becomes the fucking president of the United States and does a damn good job of administering it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even leave aside his personality quirks and his admitted flaws and all his other stuff. Okay, put that aside. His manner of governing was very good to excellent. And they can't get around that. That's what maddens him. How did he do it? He doesn't know anything. He didn't spend any time in the job. Like, and that's, what they fail to grasp is he never got corrupted by the very influences that corrupted you for decades.
That's right. And look.
That's why we like him.
And look what he went through the whole time he was president. And look what
Welcome
he accomplished.
Welcome back. Tonight, Rico Dez, affiliated.
Hold on a minute. Excuse me. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Just look what he accomplished with all Republicans and Democrats against him.
Oh,
he didn't
man.
Have any help. Mitch McConnell didn't help him at all.
Not a bit. Maybe with judges. That's about the only thing he did.
Yeah, judges, yeah. And can you imagine Merrick Garland being on the Supreme Court?
God in heaven. Did we ever miss biting a bullet on that guy?
That's one thing I'll give McConnell. He did one thing I can say right, and that was it. Keep him.
Yeah, he dug in his heels on that one. He dug in his heels on that one, and I gotta give him props for that. Beyond that, yeah. I can't think of too much else he's done good lately.
Me either. Not at all. But damn.
You could have had Merrick Garland as Supreme Court Justice for life. God.
Oh, I can't imagine that. That man is, and Mayorkas, how do you pronounce his name?
Mayorkas.
My God. I don't know.
Yeah.
They had to dig real hard to find that guy.
Oh, man, that guy was hiding in plain sight all the time, ready to take this job to accomplish the task that he's been given. He's doing a very good job of it. He's not doing a bad job. He's doing a great job of what he was intended to do. He's doing it very well. Let's give him all the credit he deserves for doing that.
That's true. That is. He's done a good job for the Democrats. I wonder how many, and I was watching the news today, and they were saying they wonder how many terrorists we have let into this country in the last 2 years.
I believe they've apprehended something like 800 of them in the last 2 or 3 years that are on the terrorist watch list, and we're not, obviously, if they apprehended them, that means we're not counting gotaways.
Yeah, you're not.
So we don't know how many it's been. But we know we got 800 of them. That's the ones we know.
There was one hearing. They asked Mayorkas, what have you done with the ones that you have caught? And he would not answer. I don't know what
it's
the
amazing.
Hell they did.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
This is what we're up against.
Scary. They don't give a damn about the drugs flowing through the border. They don't care about any of that.
Not a bit.
They
do not like Americans. Not enough Americans to go along with their agenda, and they seek to transform the country until they get the kind of quote Americans unquote that they think will go along with what they have in mind.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they got open border.
Yeah. Clear as day to me. The only question is, we're going to stop them or not.
Well, I can't imagine how many between now and the time Biden leaves office And that's if he makes it all the way.
And we need to have someone who come in office and set a goal of, I don't know, 500,000 to a million deportations a year.
At least.
But that ain't likely to happen. Even with Trump, that's not likely to happen.
No.
I mean, just think, they came in illegally. They're here to stay. We're paying for them to be here illegally. And soon the Democrats in these big cities are going to let them vote in their local election. Then after that, they're going to be pushing to allow them to vote in federal elections. I mean, I guarantee bloody to you.
Oh, yeah.
We're just sitting there watching it happen.
Yeah, there's a, I got an interview. Well, I don't have it. He works for the government. And he's running, he's part of the team that's running a hotel in New York City. It's a block away from Central Park. And he said it's $500 a night. That's how much the rate, I don't know how much. He said, I can't say how much we're paying, but it's usually $500 a night. And it's, we, when we took over, we absolutely told everybody to get out. And he said, I'm quitting. He's quitting his job as of, what was it, November 5th, 16th or something in that area. And he said, it's because it's either quit or get fired. So I decided to turn in my resignation. He said, I'm going to show you pictures of what these people have done to these rooms from the top floor to the basement. I'm going to show you. And he showed these pictures. I forgot how many floors this thing is, like 60 floors, from the 60 all the way down to the basement. And they are destroyed, holes everywhere, trash everywhere, carpet pulled up, water damage in the bathrooms. He said, it's like that on every floor. And he said almost, he would say 90, he said 98% of the rooms are destroyed. And you and me are going to have to pay for it. That's what he said. You and me. And that's a block away from Central Park. Times Square, rather. Not Central Park, Times Square.
And
go.
Every major Democrat politician is to some degree or other like Eric Adams. All of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he his assistant got FBI raided their raided her office and her home. He had. They said, if you say anything bad, in which Eric Adams has been saying, you know, Trump or Biden's got to do something because he's destroying New York City. And the more he talks, he said the FBI they're taking over. Don't doubt it. Can't say nothing bad. Come on, you can't say anything bad.
That's why they're so eager to control the narrative.
Funny, you know, just it's funny as hell. A year and a half ago, not even a year ago, all New York City, everybody was happy. Oh, let them in. Come on, let them in. Until they started shipping them to their cities. And now they're pissed. Chicago, same way. Same exact way. I do feel bad for the people in Chicago. I do. They are taking over that park and camping these. I don't know what the hell they're going to do in the wintertime.
Putting them in the high schools.
Yeah, well, yeah. They have closed a high school in Chicago, and they're putting in people in that high school, and they're pissed because they want to they want to reopen that high school so kids don't get bused across town. So, oh, these poor folks are madder than hell. And I don't blame them. Nobody wants to come to Flint, Michigan.
They voted for Danny Davis in Chicago, and he's the one who said there's room for everybody.
Who's Danny Davis?
Congressman for that area.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Well, there's room for everybody then, I guess. Maybe they can put him up in Obama's library that he's building. They're not happy about that either. Oh, by the way, Alabama beat LSU. I just thought Pianchi should know.
Man, oh man, oh man.
Don't get upset, Pianchi. Yeah. Yeah, don't forget to fall back tonight, folks. 12 o'clock. When I was a bar manager 100 years ago, I would always dread it tonight. Oh, man. Fall back and you had another hour of drinking.
Yeah, I remember working the third watch on I got to do another extra hour unpaid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it used to really irritate me.
Oh, man. That last hour, of drinking, more drinking.
Yeah.
You got Lori Ann driving around drunk and high. God, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, you get caught like that. You're on the first watch, and, man, Jesus. Yeah, you get caught on that day. It really kind of irritated you. And I said, what if I get killed or seriously injured during this extra hour I'm doing for no pay?
Oh, God. Oh.
Oh, man.
You know what's happened.
Yeah, but that's the way it is, I guess. Hey, you know, barely no sense crying about spilt milk. You get it another way, too, though, when it goes. You know, you make it up if you live long enough.
Yeah.
Fall back. You don't fall back. You go ahead 13 hours.
Hey, Cinnamon, come on in here for a second, please. You guys take over for a minute. I got a sick dog.
Uh-oh. Take care of him. Yeah, guys.
Poor Otis.
Well, you're the boss now, Lori. You have to run things, so run it.
I don't know if Donnie would agree to that. His whole
He turned over command to you, didn't he? And just leave the guy go take care of his mutt.
He said, take over the show, guys.
Aren't you the co-host?
He's a guy.
Aren't you the co-host? That's like being a co-pilot. The pilot gets up. You mean a pilot gets up and you're not going to stick over the control column?
No, because I'm not the co-pilot. I'm just a passenger on this ride. That's good.
Well, anyway.
Oh, man. I'm waiting for... I got to get some food in me soon. Food. I didn't realize it, but I didn't eat anything yesterday. I woke up today and I'm like, damn, I'm hungry. I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't eat dinner last night. No wonder. We went late on Robert's show. But then VCR hung up on us all. I was in mid-sentence, I think. I think I was in the middle saying, I don't know what I was talking about, but then, thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. Fuck you. Everybody, fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, you think they'd at least have the English lady come on and give you a countdown. The show will end in 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7. No, they just take like they got a headsman chopping your head off. It's all of a sudden.
Exactly.
They should,
well,
you know, give you a
tape. You're done.
Should give you a countdown and let you know, or at least a warning. You got 30 seconds at the end of the show so you can say goodbye.
Well, they do that before the end of the live. You know, when the live show is about to end, then they give you like a 90-second heads up and then a 30-second heads up when the live is going to end, but not when, you know, only the host hears it, though. And but when you're in overtime, though, you don't get that courtesy.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
That's cool.
I'm saving some of my topics of conversation for the show tomorrow. Tomorrow night. So I know I've been kind of quiet a little bit today. I've been kind of scrolling and doing my thing and just listening. Everything. Lots of shit happening. I got a crap ton of YouTube videos queued up to try to get through some of it tonight. And then when I get tired of that, throw on something brainless and mindless that I could just veg out on.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I heard that the Israelis scored a major victory in Gaza today, where they got a couple of Hamas headquarters and they pulled up special operation that supposedly went pretty damn good, and they completely caught Hamas napping, and they rescued a bunch of hostages. I got enough experience doing that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's true.
Yeah, I did see something about Israel doing another offensive on Gaza, but I didn't see a whole lot of details. I know that right now, I guess tonight there's, you know, there's the pro-Palestinian protesters are trying to break down the walls of the White House. You know, they're spray painting the gates and crap like that.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
the offensive is already... Yeah, I know, but the offensive has already started. This was a raid. This one was a targeted raid on a specific fortification in which they had, and they recovered a lot of intelligence information, maps, diagrams of the way the tunnels are laid out, a whole lot of stuff that's going to be very valuable to them in their operations.
Yeah, if they got some hostages, that's a good thing. I don't know, though, because it's just, I don't know. There's so much conflicting there. You know, of course, our media is all pro-Israel, and yet then there's the other side of it, too, where, you know, if they're, how many people do they kill? How many civilians do they kill just to kill one Hamas leader, you know, bomb the living shit out of the whole area? And, ooh, we got one of the leaders, you know, and it's like, well, you know, how many, you know, innocent women and children had to die in the process. I just don't like war at all, you know.
Well, if they're going to do it, let them do it real quick and get it over with real fast so it doesn't drag out.
It's like using the depleted uranium armaments in Iraq that's affecting birth, causing birth defects even to this day. Poor kids. Born missing limbs, face misfigured, and all that crazy stuff. It's worse than dropping cluster bombs that kids come along years later and trip and blow their legs off.
Let's make sure we get a president in office next time who will minimize the likelihood of such a thing ever happening again. We got the wrong guy in there who would maximize what happened. Having him in office maximize. I'm not saying that Trump would have necessarily been able to stop this. Maybe he would have, maybe he wouldn't have. But one thing's for sure, he would have been more likely to prevent it from going off than Biden will ever even think about doing.
So they need to cut off that aid. That money should stay in American taxpayers' pocket. They already got a case now. More
versus Harper or something like that, where the Internal Revenue Service want to charge this company that's working in India, charge them taxes on money they haven't even received. That's that idea that Janice Wilson, the head of the U.S. Treasury, came up with about taxing unrealized capital gains, money you haven't even received.
That's a good one, ain't it? Wow. Only the government could do something like that. Man.
Short-term capital gains should be looked at as a regular income. It should not be taxed higher than anything else, any other form of income. It should be obligated to expenses that's incurred in order to gain those capital gains. If you have to buy a lot of equipment, the equipment is dedicated to bringing in that revenue, well, then that should be allowable deduction.
Mm. Well, you know what they think? All your monies belong to us. We're just letting you have some of it.
That's the truth. Now, Lorianne, you were saying something was happening at the White House right now? Okay.
She said something about they were spray painting the walls and the White House, I mean the fence around the White House, and they were engaging in, dare I say it, insurrectionist activity.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm seeing on Twitter some, you know, videos being posted of that. They're using red spray paint and trying to bust in through the gates and stuff. And yeah, it's a really good time right now at the White
wonder
House.
Fox is reporting it. Fox News is reporting it.
Are they going to charge Rashida Tlaib for inciting some kind of insurrection?
Did she use the words peacefully and lawfully protest? Because if she did, then that means they would have to charge her with an insurrection.
That was
that's
good,
just
though.
A dog. Those just dog whistle words, you know.
That was good. That was damn good.
Yeah.
It's
absurd, Donnie, but that's the world we're living in today now. It's becoming almost impossible to parody the world we live in now. Used to be Saturday Night Live is not supposed to be real life, okay? But increasingly, everywhere you look, Saturday Night Live is becoming the news.
Yeah, you're right. you are right on that one. Damn. Now, here's Trump about the election. I don't know.
He just lies. There's never been anybody that lied. Listen, the other day, they were talking about truckers. He said he was a trucker. Then they were talking about airline pilots. He said he was an airline pilot. No, he said he was an airline pilot. Then they were talking about tractor operators. He said, when I operated a tractor, he never operated a tractor. But probably his biggest sin of all, to all of those that like sports and love golf and everything, he said he was a 6-handicap golfer. Now, I have to tell you, you don't know many of you about golf, but 6-handicap's a pretty good golfer. You know, they're percentage-wise not many. And I watched him take the swing. He's not a 6. He's not a 12. He's not a 25, and he's not a 36. You know, 36 is the max. He doesn't qualify for any handicap. He's a 6. I have friends that are very good golfers. They're 6 handicaps. I say, Joe Biden says he's the equivalent of you. No, it's just a lie. Everything's a lie. The whole thing is a lie.
I remember him saying he was a truck driver, and he used to run a tractor when he was younger. I never heard about the pilot, though. I didn't know he said he was a pilot. Oh, man. Yeah, he was at a tractor, one of the tractor shows, and he was talking about how he used to run one. Maybe he did. I don't know. I don't think so, though. Pilot, how would you like to get in a plane with that young man flying?
Now, at the time, Joe Biden would have claimed to have been a truck driver. He would have been operating probably a twin-stick tractor. Because I was driving a Peterbilt 929 for a while, way back when I first got out of the Army. I got a Class D Illinois driver's license. They didn't have a CDL back then. They called it the Class D. And, you know, I got a job driving a Peterbilt 929. You got two sticks in there you got to shift. You got a main box with six speeds in it. You got an auxiliary transmission with four speeds. And you got to shift both the sticks depending on what kind of load you're hauling. So that's how you get, like, you got, and this box had, 20 speeds because of the, and you had four speeds in reverse. And you had 20 speeds forward.
Damn.
Joe Biden trying to figure out which range to be putting that tractor trailer in when he's going up or down a hill?
I can't imagine me trying to figure it out, let alone Biden. Hell no.
Well, it's easier now, Donnie, because now they got splitters, so you don't have to use two sticks. They have splitters, and they got it all on one stick. You got a low range and a high range splitter. Then you got a high range splitter, so you got two sticks that do the job of the auxiliary transmission. They don't have that anymore. That's old school stuff. But when I was doing it, yeah, you did have it.
You done lost me already. I know the words double clutch, whatever the hell that means.
No, you don't even use the clutch, man. You use the clutch only when you're stopping or starting out. After that, you float the shifts through the gears. You don't use the clutch anymore. You rev match the engine speed to the gear you want to go into. That's why when you hear these trucks going down the road, they go boop boop boom. They're rev matching to get into the next gear because the gears aren't synchronized. They got too many gears on the gear shaft. They don't want to use any space for the synchronizer rings, so they're unsynchronized.
Oh, okay.
So you got to do it in order to keep from clashing the gears. You got to rev match to get it in there. Or you got to double clutch. You get a double clutch, you got to rev match.
I remember years ago going back down south from Michigan. We were on 65, and my mom wasn't my dad would let her drive. She had a license, but she didn't drive hardly at all. But he would let her drive in Tennessee for about 50, 60 miles, give him a little break. She would get in the damn, there's hills and, up and down. And these trucks would get in, the fast lane. And my mom would get in the fast lane and slow them right down. Oh, they were pissed. I said, "Mom, you can't do that." And, how she'd do it every time. These truckers would be pissed off because they'd get, their momentum going down. That's when Tennessee had speed limit of 75 miles an hour, and it was for the truckers. And, oh, my God, they go by, they pass her and blow the horn, just lay on the horn. Then they'd be on her ass. She'd get scared, and I was afraid she's going to wreck us. Oh, God, help me. That was a long time ago. Damn. I remember when there wasn't any expressways going down south. Man, I'm getting old. I didn't mean
that. Sounds like you're talking about my mom driving. Hello. She wouldn't get in the fast lane and drive slow. No, she would piss off everybody even in the right lane because she'd be like, she'd be going, you know, 45 miles an hour in a 60, and everybody's trying to merge in. So everybody that's merging on the freeway, you know, getting into the right lane, they're already, you know, up to 55 by the time they're ready to merge in. There's my mom going 45, so they have to slow down. She would just screw up everybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, our mothers took the same driving test then, I guess. Good Lord. Oh, my.
And at one point, my mom wanted to get a minivan, and I was like, oh, hell no. No, you don't. We're not getting a minivan. That'll just make things even worse.
Yeah. No. Oh, no. I had gray hair when I was in the sixth grade. It's all because of my mom. Jesus, she scared the hell out of me. I don't know, man. We got to do something. We got to do something. I don't know what it is or what we can do, but we got to get these people out of office. And we're going to have that convention of states. We're going to do a show on that. Sarge, you and Bianchi. And whoever else wants to chime in.
Don't you have meetings in place with your UAW?
Yeah, but it should be over not tomorrow. That won't be the show, but the next week should be the last that I have to deal with these strikes and what's in the contract. I think a week from tomorrow probably we'll know everything. And it should be voted on, and if it all passes, the strikes are completely over. So we'll following week we can do the if everything stays like it, you know, like I think it's going to be, and people vote for this contract, which absolutely sucks, but they'll vote for it anyway because they threw some money at them. So it won't be next. Let me look at my calendar here. Tomorrow's the 5th. The 12th might be the last UAW show for a while. Then the 19th, we can do it. If everything goes right, we can do it on the 19th if you want to. And you can pick a time. It doesn't have to be at 7 o'clock. It can be at any time you guys pick. But I'm leaving that all up to you and Sarge there, Bianchi.
Well, Sarge is not no volunteer, so he don't have anything to do with it. But we need to get Sarge need to sign up to become a volunteer for his state. The only thing I can do is contact, either come on the phone, but I'm going to try to contact a D.C. in your state to contact, I guess, you. And make arrangements for that.
I am looking for my mail because they sent me an email. I'm sure they do it to everybody to volunteer to. Where the hell's my email at? Jesus. Volunteer to be a spokesperson. And hell, I can't put a sentence together anymore. You would never guess I was a disc jockey back in the early days of radio. Holy Christ, I can't even put a sentence. Let me see if I can find that email real quick. Boom. Let's see. I see it somewhere. The Convention of States is in the news. Okay, let's see what that is about. Recent events, and that's October, so that's all done. They had a live stream, though, on Facebook. Oh, the hell, that was Thursday. I thought it was I missed it. Well, that figures. But you can go listen to their previous episodes if you would like. It's pretty good. You can learn, like I do. Pianchi, they have some good shows here in Michigan, you know, on Facebook, by the way. So it's pretty good. Now I'm looking for that. See, they write me, but they don't put down what I have to really dig for them. They don't put down, like, COS or some, if somebody's name. I can't, okay, Freya, that's not it. I don't know. It's here somewhere, but, yeah, we'll do that, and I'll bring it up tomorrow night that we're going to have a two-hour, three-hour show on Convention Estates. I know Jesse brought it up a couple of weeks ago. He wanted to know if we were going to do this, and I told him, yeah, after all this strike crap is over with, but that's exactly what we're going to do, because he's been looking into it also. And so that's a good thing. Jesse's a good speaker too, so we get him on board, he can that isn't it. I thought I had it.
You got 33 district captains in Michigan.
Is that good?
Yeah. One guy is a black.
He's a what?
One guy in Niles, Michigan is a black. His name is Victor Oluta. He's probably in Nigeria. Oluta.
Where is he at now? Does it say?
Niles, Michigan.
Oh, Niles? Okay. That's up north. That's on north, up north. Now they found Robert Kennedy Jr. was on Epstein's plane. Now they're making a big deal out of that. They think they want him to run really bad now because they think he would take a lot of votes away from Trump and not Biden. So that's why.
Well, if they can find his seat on the plane, why come they can't find some of these other people?
Yeah,
I bet big old fat Butt Christie was on the plane.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it at all. I don't know. They're not even. I don't even know what happened to this guy's property. I have no idea. I know he had a brother, and he was trying to get something from the estate, but that's the last I heard about it. And I guess they keep it quiet so nobody will talk about it. And that gal, she wants to stay alive, so she's not going to say anything. She did say, though, she doesn't think Epstein killed himself. She said, no, he wouldn't do that. I don't think he did it either. Where in the hell is that email?
No, way too many coincidences and way too convenient.
Yeah.
Cameras being turned off right after he's off the suicide watch. Cars not being there. You know, just way too many things just are questionable to think that he actually did kill himself.
Well, yeah, and then they had that autopsy where the state coroner disagreed with the they had an independent, I forgot his name, everybody's seen him before. He said he didn't agree with the outcome at all. He said that there's that bone, I don't know, when you get strangled, that bone breaks, and it was broke, And he said, when you hang, when you get hung or hang yourself, that bone doesn't get broke. In the, you know, 98% of the cases, 99% of the cases. So he said he thinks he was murdered. All right. As we wind down, I can see.
Well, Sid, I'm muted while I'm eating, so you don't hear me chomping away.
Oh, okay.
I'm afraid to say something. I might get murdered.
No, you might. You just might. I'm surprised we haven't had our door kicked in yet. But the night's young yet. The night is young. But, you know, I am surprised that somebody hasn't blown away some police officers coming through the door, or not police, FBI. Just, I mean, somebody banging on your door like that without, you know, announcing. How about if they did my, I wear two hearing aids. And if I don't have them in and they bang on the door and announce the FBI is at the door, whatever in the hell they do, and I don't hear them, and I shoot one of them, of course, it had to be a headshot or legs or something, because that's about all you would hit and hurt them. I mean, would I be charged with attempted murder?
If you was in Indiana, I don't think you would. I think they got a law that protects the homeowner in case something like that happens.
Didn't they change that law because of that female accidentally getting killed and the guy, they were after the guy? You remember that case? Wasn't it Indianapolis? I can't think of the gal's name, young lady. They were in bed. You remember that? She got out of bed to see what all the commotion was, and the guy got behind her, and they
the
shot.
Breonna Taylor?
Was that her name?
Talking about Breonna Taylor?
That sounds like her name. That sounds like her name. I don't know if I got the facts straight. But it
her
sounds
boyfriend
like,
probably used her for a shield.
Well, that's what the they decided. That's what happened. That he, she got out of bed, and he, you know, came up. She came up the hallway, and he just got behind her, and I don't know why there were shots. Oh, he shot. The guy shot at the police officer, and the police officer seen the flash and shot back and killed her and not him. She didn't even know what was going on. Poor lady. I mean, none of them were innocent, but she didn't deserve to die. They weren't even after her. Yeah, I think that was her name, Lorianne.
But some of these videos,
yeah, it's sounding like that's the case. It was Breonna Taylor. That's why there was such an outrage over it. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm for one, like, you know, that's why I don't support no-knock raids. Because, I mean, that just puts the officers at even more risk when you allow no-knock raids. For them to just burst in, they don't have to announce themselves. You know, and people are going to react to that.
Hearing on the Joe
Rogan
podcast,
people are going to grab their firearm and shoot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I just
are
think there's way too much risk involved, both for the officers and whoever it is that, you know, they're after, especially when they can't even get the damn address right, you know, when they burst in and they got the wrong fucking house.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, these damn police officers nowadays, you got some dumbasses on the force, man. I mean, they are dumb.
Well, there's a, well, that's about all they can get. Well, I wouldn't be a police officer. I wouldn't. Who in the hell with a brain would want to be putting yourself out there and then turn, you know, your prosecutor turns around and lets them out. And then tells tell everybody in your state that, oh, you can steal up to $950 worth of shit, and nobody will do a thing about it. How about the, God, where in the hell was that? Oh, my God. Oh, Oakland. Oakland, the prosecutor in Oakland that was defund the police all the way. She got
That car just, that was New Orleans.
Well, no, it was Oakland, wasn't it?
Him and his mama?
No. This is she went into someplace and left her $90,000 vehicle and went in with her bodyguard. Nobody knew she had a bodyguard until this happened. And she came back and somebody smashed her window and stole her computer and what else, you know, whatever else. So she called the police and they told her, we don't know when we can get to you. And if you don't want to wait, go online and file a report. So she didn't get in. She waited for a little over an hour. And there's a picture of her yawning. So they took off. Even the police, you know, hey, you screwed us. We're screwing you. We're not going to help you anymore than we do our citizens. But
DA in New Orleans, they carjacked him and his mother. His mother's like an elderly lady. He calls in. He's known for letting people go.
Is that
he calls
right?
in and tell them that he's being carjacked.
Damn. And that's something that is amazing to me. Let me play this real quick for Larry. Larry, I can't play, but a little bit. Well, it's not very long at all, but it's Joe Rogan and Elon Musk.
Appearing on the Joe Rogan podcast yesterday, Elon Musk gave us a succinct answer as to why it is he bought Twitter. The woke mind virus is destroying civilization. And he breaks it down rather simply. Look at San Francisco and the horrors, human waste all over the streets, crime running rampant, real estate market is out of whack. The city seems to be falling apart. What Elon says is the ideology that destroyed San Francisco normally would be rather niche and isolated geographically in this city, but it was given an information technology weapon, which it then used to spread the virus throughout the world. Now, it's not just Twitter, and I commend Elon Musk for buying the platform, trying to fix it, and I think he's working very hard to do so. But it's also a bunch of other platforms. It's Facebook, it's YouTube, it's TikTok, it is social media in general. Now, if you take a look at San Francisco, you can see how the ideas of San Francisco, which don't work, are seeping out into various parts of this country and other parts of the world and destroying these cities. I mean, seriously, look at crime, look at the smash and grabs. It's crazy. But if a tool of a city is, I should say, an ideology of a city is given a tool, then the ideology of that city spreads rapidly, then we need to look at other social media platforms and where they're headquartered, notably TikTok. Because the big story now, as we see these crazy videos of pro-Hamas protesters, I am not saying pro-Palestine, I'm drawing a distinction, pro-Hamas protesters. You wonder where they're getting their ideas from. I'll tell you, TikTok. No, we have the data. It's a fact. It's TikTok. Now, there are pro-Palestine protesters that are concerned about civilian deaths. I can respect that. But I got to tell you, in the United States, pro-Palestine protesters are attacking Jewish people, not Israelis. No. Now, there are certainly clashes between pro-Israel and pro-Palestine protesters that we know about. No. Quite literally, there are people that are pro-Palestine harassing and attacking people who are simply Jewish. Notably at Cooper Union, where Jewish students, Americans, not Israelis, were locked in a library, and the report is they were told they could hide in the attic. I kind of don't believe that one, because I'm not sure Cooper Union has an attic that is easily accessible in this way, but you get the point of the propaganda. Now, perhaps they were told they could hide in the attic. I don't know. it seems a little on the nose, if you ask me. They were already locked in a library as far leftists were screaming and banging on the door, free, free Palestine. And the question I'd ask all of you, and look, I get it. There's concerns over Israel's retaliation, the bombing of a refugee camp. You're not going to get any defense of that from me. Israel should not have done it. But now we're seeing this conflict become a component, it probably always was, in the culture war, which is leading, I think, a great example of what Elon Musk is talking about. And this could be an escalation into greater regional conflict, civil conflict in the United States, and hopefully not, but slim chance, World War III. Everybody, you know, World War III is like a buzz phrase or whatever, but with the escalations we're seeing in Israel, U.S. boots on the ground, we should consider the possibility of why we do not want to expand war. Let me first show you what Elon Musk said, and then I want to show you some examples of the far-left cult and how they operate. We've got a video of a dude interviewing a pro-Palestinian activist, and the far-left cultists come over and say, no interviews, no interviews. I love how they say that Donald Trump supporters are in a cult when Trump gets booed by his own rallies when he talks about the vaccine. And if you walk up to any Trump supporter and say, let's talk, they'll say, fine. Whereas on the left, they are terrified to criticize the establishment of, I should say, the established powers of the leftists, not the corporate establishment, neocon, neolib. And they don't give interviews. Nope, it's got to go through their hierarchy. That's right. Here's a story from the Postmillennial. They report, in the latest episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, Elon Musk decried the current state of San Francisco and civilization at large, pinning the blame on the mind virus being spread far and wide by the woke left. The tech billionaire nonetheless urged people to have hope and continue fighting to right the ship. So he said, basically said it's a zombie apocalypse. A philosophy that would ordinarily be quite niche has and ideologically constrained so the fallout area will be limited was effectively given an information weapon to propagate what is essentially a mind virus to the rest of Earth. Oh, yeah. I got another video for you guys later tonight where I'm going to roast some Gen Z ignorance. But
all right. Well, Larry, here you go. I played a little bit of it, 5 minutes of it. We don't need no more. Appreciate it. A lot of people send me all kinds of tapes. And I don't ever look at them, not all of them anyway. And there you go. Play what I can. Especially when nobody's talking. Like me.
I'm still munching away over here on my Oriental salad.
What the hell's an Oriental salad?
I'm filling out my balance.
You've never heard of an Oriental salad before?
No. Don't even know. What'd you say, Pianchi? You're filling out
I'm
what?
I'm filling out my ballot choices for when I go to the polls Monday. Should have went today.
Oh, you got an election? Yeah. Do you?
Yes, early voting. Election November 8th.
No.
This is a really convenient app. All the information comes right over your phone.
Well, I'm glad you have good eyes to be able to read your phone.
You're damn right. It's not in Braille.
Okay. Oh, man. Now, what is this? Maxwell, somebody, we were talking about Epstein for a second. Now, who sent me this? This is, what is this?
A drug dealer will kill an average of 500 American citizens during his or her life. They'll destroy, kill 500, not to mention the destruction of millions and millions of families that are so badly hurt. And I'm calling for the death penalty of drug dealers and human traffickers, which will, upon its passage, reduce drug distribution and crime in our country on day one by 75%. But it's not just illegals. It's criminals. It's drugs. It's the new phenomena that's been age-old, been going on for thousands of years, but it's never been worse than now because of the Internet. Human trafficking, where they grab women, put tape over their mouth,
come through our border and sell them. And they go both ways in both directions. We better get smart. Human trafficking is a big business. It's a big deal. Dealing in children is a big deal. Children are probably the most harmed.
Welcome to this Christian Patriot News update. Trump, a.k.a. Q+, is calling for the death penalty for drug dealers and human traffickers. Here's our favorite president in Q-Drop 3425. Find out the people that went to that island, sign POTUS, Anons know. Under that is drop 3133, originally posted March 20th of 2019 to an upcoming four-year Delta. What does a handler procure? Now keep in mind, in our last update, I shared with you that Ray Chandler, the word Chandler equals child handler. Is the handler in the kill box we get one of many connected to Epstein? Flight logs reveal many hidden artifacts.
Okay, that's, I don't know what the hell that is. QAnons or Q, whatever the hell that is. I don't know. I don't know. I see a little list behind all this. Robert Downey Jr., Alan Dershowitz, Alec Baldwin. That's all I can make out. Oh, Will Ferrell, Will Smith, Woody Allen, Wanda Sykes, Virginia Roberts, Victor Salva, I believe. Virginia Roberts has been arrested, but I don't know. Anyway, I don't know who in the hell, what the hell this stuff is. Something about a client list. But who knows? Somebody knows. Somebody's got those tapes. Those ladies, those four or five ladies that testified said he had a whole room full of TV monitors hooked up to cameras in every room that had they had one in the bathroom, bedroom, sitting room, everywhere, in every room, everywhere. And he taped everything. So where are those tapes? That would show who did what. Oh, well. We will never know.
Somebody's got them.
Yeah,
somebody's got them and somebody's hiding them, and I'm betting it's somebody from our government.
Yeah.
Making sure they never see the light of day.
No, but can you imagine the weapon those tapes have? Yeah, you use those as a weapon. You can get anything you want, whenever you want. From the government.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a treasure chest of blackmail material for sure.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Damn. Damn shame these people get away with that stuff. This is a shame. Now, here's one of those.
This one's I don't think we'll ever even know either.
No, we won't know.
Election overturned by a judge because Democrats were caught stuffing the ballot. Now, the interesting thing here.
It's Bridgeport, Connecticut on this one.
It's a Bridgeport, Connecticut mayoral primary. And it's really close to the election. A lot of people are making the argument, well, you know, it's just a small election. These things happen. No one ever said fraud never happens. But talk about where we're currently at. The game being played to prevent Donald Trump from becoming president is getting very interesting. The Colorado trial is on. They actually played a clip from TimCast during the trial, and that's in Colorado. We also have the Minnesota trial has begun with very interesting and intelligent arguments made, which argue states do not have the right to determine eligibility. This needs to be a federal question. However, Trump was already tried federally. the impeachment hearings, and he was acquitted. Now, as for this smaller town and this election fraud story, why it matters. In this instance, we have a single individual seen on camera stuffing the ballots. And that was enough for a judge to say, okay, this calls everything into question. We don't know the true numbers. We've got to do it again. Now, you'd think that if we know Democrats have done this or do it, well, then what about Trump's arguments about fraud in 2020? Well, I'll tell you, most of the lawsuits that were brought up to questioning several instances much like this were determined to have no standing, which seems like BS, if you ask me. Now, I personally don't think Trump lost 2020 because of ballot stuffing or things like this. I certainly think it happened. I think even Bill Barr, who many people don't like, said, yeah, fraud happened, but was it enough to actually affect the outcome? It might have been, but I lean towards probably not. And the issue is just, they admit what they did, okay, ballot harvesting. Now, the question is, were they legitimate ballots from real people that were harvested? And then we have questions of how the rules are being set up to disfavor Donald Trump. To put it simply, the big narrative about fraudulent ballots and fake printed ones, I'm just like, look, I'm not interested, okay? No, I've read a lot of these stories, and I think they're too speculative. Now, the stories about ballot harvesting, I think, are legitimate. And so the issue comes down to this. Is it fraud if someone goes and collects ballots from a bunch of old who are not really all with it, and they say, just sign it, just sign it. We've seen those videos from James O'Keefe. Is that fraud? Well, legally speaking, in many of these states, it is not. It's not. So there are some deep questions, and we're going to get into this. But my point is simply this. When it came to Donald Trump's legal hearings, what they said in the cases where there was an actual ruling on the merits, guess what? Trump actually won. Yeah, they found that there were some really interesting things about ballot stuffing and things like this. The problem was, at an individual level, these instances did not amount to a significant enough amount of fraud to have altered the outcome of the election. Therefore, moot was the ruling. If you're saying Trump lost by 3,000 votes and you found someone who's stuffed 400 ballots, doesn't change the outcome. There's no point. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It is lazy. It is immoral. Judges should absolutely say, in this instance, we must take action because it is not the macro, it is the micro. If you get 100 instances of, what do they call it? I forgot what it's called. When someone carries more than the legal number of ballots for individuals and stuffs them. If you get one case and they prove it and they say, yeah, well, it's not enough. Okay, but what if you have 10 in each of these different areas and each judge says none of it is enough? It's the micro, not the macro. This plays a role. So I want to talk to you about this story and bring up the importance of whether or not you think this is how Trump lost in 2020. It's much more complicated. And let me walk you through it. In the early days after the 2020 election, people were claiming Trump was still the president. He was going to get reinstated. Just weird nonsense. People were claiming that there were Chinese servers and hacking and votes flipping. People were claiming that China printed fake ballots and that Trump had watermarked them and they were going to catch him and then Trump was going to be reinstated. Look, and I'm like, none of that is true, guys. Then Time Magazine releases their article, The Shadow Campaign. And this is where we get into the question of rigging and fraud and what it means. First, did Donald Trump win in 2020? No. Simply put, Joe Biden's in the White House. If you think wins get a bunch of votes or have the support, fine. But I'm talking about actual conflict. What's the real victory? Joe Biden became president. What do we know they did? Changed the rules and ballot harvested. And that was the bulk of how they pulled off 2020. And this is not conspiracy theory. The Shadow Campaign article published by Time Magazine outlined exactly what they did. And it probably involves things like this. Now, is ballot stuffing fraud? Depends on your jurisdiction. Some places allow people to do this. So my point is simply this. This should be litigated. It should not be allowed. One person, one vote. You should have to deliver your ballots on your own. And we should not allow these kinds of things. In this jurisdiction, what this woman did, fraud. But it's not fraud in every single jurisdiction. Or I should say, based on the determination of the judge, it would appear this woman committed fraud. I don't know the actual legal statute, so I want to be careful. But let's read this, and we'll talk about it. Connecticut Judge William Clark overturned the results of Bridgeport's Democratic mayoral primary on Wednesday after a video emerged showing a supporter of current Mayor Joe Ganim allegedly stuffing ballots into an absentee ballot drop box. Let me just set the record straight on what I'm saying. It is an allegation of ballot stuffing, but the judge made a determination. I think thus it is fair to say as a statement of fact. I don't know how else you determine statements of facts. If a judge said it, then it's true. Or we operate under the assumption it is. Judges can be wrong. The videos, Clark said, are shocking to the court and should be shocking to all parties. Clark ordered the parties to confer with each other and with election officials within 10 days to discuss scheduling a new primary. This is mere days before the November 7th election day. Clark overturned the results, saying that these allegations were enough to throw out the primary results. In that September 12th primary, incumbent Ganim won by 251 votes out of a total of 8,173 per Connecticut Public. What really sealed the deal for Clark, however, is that Ganim's win was secure by absentee ballots in his favor. The volume of ballots so mishandled is such that it calls the results of the primary election into serious doubt and leaves the court unable to determine the legitimate result of the primary. The surveillance video was obtained by Ganim's opposition candidate, John Gomes. The Gomes campaign sued the city and demanded the results be thrown out and a new primary be scheduled or to be declared the winner himself. A new primary date has not been announced. Ganim loses the general election next week. A new primary may not be set at all.
All right. Anyway, let that play a little too long. All right. Well, let's call it a night, guys. And
yeah, where is it, everybody? I don't even know who's still on.
I don't either. But they can stay on till your show comes on tomorrow night. How about that?
Yeah, until Blog Talk hangs up on everybody. But no, it's all good. I'll save my energy for my show tomorrow. Everybody will get an extra hour of sleep tonight. So.
Hang on now. Hang on. We're not. Oh, man. I bet that's John Doe. I didn't get John Doe on. Cinnamon, you made it, I think. Hello? I guess not. Sorry about that, kids. Apologize for that.
Switchboard shut down on you before you got a chance to unmute.
Well, it says they're on, but they're not.
I'm on. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, you're always on, buddy. You're my hero. You've always been there, buddy boy. Even though Alabama beat LSU tonight, you're still right there with me.
Oh, that's fraudulent news, man.
It might be. damn. The only thing is Ohio's number one in the country, and that sucks. Oregon State is winning 14-3. Over Colorado.
Against who? Cool.
Colorado.
Oregon Beavers or Ducks? Hopefully Ducks.
Oregon State. No, it's not the Ducks. Oregon.
The Beavers?
The Ducks. Okay. The Beavers. God.
Yeah, that's, Oregon Beavers. That's,
when I was growing up. Hold on. When I was growing up. When I was growing up, we used to call a part of a woman's body a beaver. And that's why it sounded
fun. Yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah. And the way you said it kind of